tougher than Limbaugh.
For the simple fact that liberals don't want it, I'm for it.
Saner than Liddy.
If you upset a liberal, you're doing something right.
Thank you.
Talk radio with teeth.
Right perspective.
I agree with that wholeheartedly.
This is two-way radio.
From New York.
Are you kicking butt up there in the Big Apple? Kicking butt.
The right perspective.
Somebody's got to say these things. It has to be
Brown and Brown.
Recording come out at the Obama headquarters. Not Obama. I'm sorry.
Man,
Bin Laden.
All I'm saying about the Patriot Act is that the elected representatives of this country, including Osama, Obama.
And now we have what some are reading as a suggestion that somebody knock off Osama. Obama. Well, both. We could.
A fist bump, a pound, a terrorist fist jab.
You said you take Senator Obama at his word that he's not
right.
a Muslim. You don't believe that he's a Muslim.
No, why would I? There is nothing to base that on, as far as I know.
If given the chance, would you murder Osama bin Laden?
Oh, wow, this is very political. Yes!
Just look at what Barack Obama said just yesterday. Barack Obama calling on radicals, jihadists of all the different types.
For the Taliban has been gaining strength, and Obama bin Laden is still at large.
I think that was Osama bin Laden.
And this is The Right Perspective. I'm Frank of Queens, along with my good friend and co-host, John of Staten Island.
Well, I don't know if I can say good evening, but we'll try to make it as good as we can.
And we are here tonight from 10 until 11 p.m. Eastern North Salutrian Time on the Two Friends Radio Network, transmitting on 3.215 megahertz WWCR, and we broadcast from the Rod Coppola Memorial Studio and Richard D. Henderson, Two Friends Network Broadcast Production Facilities here in the Metropolitan New York area. And you can reach us at 718-761-9996, 718-761-9996. I want my country back! I want my country back! And I won't stop saying that for the next 4 years. I want my country back. My country was stolen from me on November 4th by a coup d'etat. My country is being illegally occupied. The White House is being illegally occupied by a foreign invader. We are under occupation now. This man is not a citizen of this country. He is a communist. And the greatest charlatan in the history of the United States of America. See, I still believe in the Republic, but the Republic has been stolen from us. It was stolen from us because the opposition, the Republican Party, you know, it's funny, I don't believe in Nostradamus, but he did write in one of his quatrains about a doddering old man. And that's what John McCain was. That was the most pathetic. That was the most inept. That was the most inane presidential campaign that was ever run in this country. And at such a crucial time in this country's history, on the verge of complete victory in Iraq, getting ready to wallop the Taliban in Afghanistan with threats from a resurgent Mother Russia, an America that sees itself on the defensive on a dozen fronts, and this coup d'etat was pulled in this country, and now the White House is being occupied. We're in an occupation government at this point. You know, John McCain ran a campaign. I don't even know what to call it. How do you run against your own president? How do you run against your own party? That's why he, the schmuck, lost. And first of all, there was no enthusiasm for him. The enthusiasm that might have been was destroyed when he ran against George Bush and lost in the primaries in 2000. And I still have the tapes of that when we were discussing that on The Right Perspective. He was running. He could have said, you know what? My president has made a lot of mistakes, and he has. You can't be enthusiastic about Bush because of what he did with illegal immigration, the way he attacked the Republican base that was against it, and a number of things that he did. He spent like a drunken sailor. But he could have, instead of distancing himself and running against his own party, this idiot, he could have said, look, this is my president. That's the party I belong to, and I'm loyal to him, and I'm going to stay loyal to him, and these are the accomplishments that you had. And he could have named all of the Democrats that were responsible for this financial chaos that we're in. But instead, that stupid, pathetic line, and you heard it when Sarah Palin, who's just a scapegoat now, and I'll explain what I think is going on in regards to her, when she said, he's a maverick. He's a, what the hell is that crap? He's a maverick. Did he have anything of substance? Oh, he's reaching across the aisle. Yeah, he reached across the aisle, all right, and they slapped him in the face. And if somebody's going to run against their own party, and they're going to so-called reach across the aisle, then what the hell do I have to vote for him for? I vote for the other guy. They're going to be, it sounds like they're both going to be, both parties are in cahoots. So all you have now is a mega party, a monocracy, not a democracy. And democracy, as I said, was proven extremely dangerous. It was used to bring this coup d'etat and this foreign occupation government into Washington. So where do you get it? Why should you vote for him? He's a maverick. He's, what is he? No, he was a selfish old bastard who went and did not want to campaign as a conservative, as a real Republican, but rather as a schmuck. He had Joe Lieberman. I mean, what was this? This was an advertisement to vote for McCain. This wasn't an advertisement for choice. All he kept saying is change. You know, I said many years ago when we first started the program, to one of the people we did it with, I told him, nobody remembers the guy who flew the Atlantic second. You have to be original. And he was not original. He was the guy that flew the Atlantic second. Oh, I'm for change. We're going to have change with John McCain. He's just parroting what the foreign occupier that sits in the White House said. He didn't come out with anything different. He, you know, at least Barry Goldwater, who was destroyed in a landslide, and that was because the Ministry of Lies was behind Johnson. I mean, this is nothing new that the Ministry of Lies is liberal, that they endorse the Democrat candidate. That go back to Barry Gray. I mean, Barry Goldwater, what was done with him. But he said a choice, not an echo. McCain said, an echo, not a choice. That should have been his campaign. An echo, not a choice. I'm just going to repeat what this foreign occupation says. And that's all he did. He did not give a choice. He's a maverick. That was corny. That was inept. That was good for maybe the night of the nomination in his party. That's all it was for. And why did he pick Sarah Palin? He had to pick her. Because since it was an echo, not a choice, they had to say, look, they've got the Jungle Boy running as president, and of course they got this psychotic Joe Biden. We can't have another white man running. Why? Because the Ministry of Lies and, of course, the scum in Hollywood, the filth and human garbage, the traitors, the line will be echoed. Well, don't you see? The Republicans are just the party of old white men. He couldn't pick Fred Thompson. He couldn't pick Huckabee. He was trapped, or in his mind, he thought. Instead of saying, you know what, my vice president, if it was Huckabee, if it was Thompson, who's excellent, we're not doing it on terms of white, of what's wrong with having two white men. Are you against them? But no. So what they did is, because it was an echo, not a choice, he picked Sarah Palin to say, look, the first Republican vice nominee for vice president, a woman. We're setting a new standard. We're going into new territory. That's why he picked her. All right, you got a Negro as your presidential candidate. We got a female as our vice president. We're just as diverse. You understand the trap he fell into? Now, as far as she goes, they're stabbing her in the back. There's a very good reason why they're stabbing her in the back. Because she was more popular than the doddering old man. She was more popular. She energized the base. She got people out there and excited. She spoke in a language that the real America speaks in. And one day, and in 4 years, that real America is going to rise up and speak again and end this foreign occupation of the White House, this foreign occupier who was not born in this country, who was born in Kenya, who does not have a birth certificate from the United States, this foreign occupier. Then they will rise up and they will see this country for what she truly was. So they don't want Sarah Palin. They are trying to cut the legs out from underneath her now. They are trying to destroy her now so that in 4 years she'll be damaged goods if she decides to run in the primaries for president. That's why they're going after her. They don't want anybody that's a conservative or anybody that reflects the real America, the occupied America. And that's what's going on with her. So what we saw, a brilliant coup d'etat. But what we also saw was a shambles of a campaign. This guy could have come, if I was him, I would have come to that debate with my birth certificate and waved it in front of him and said, hey, you know what, Junior Senator, I got a birth certificate. Where's yours? There are questions about it. I'm not ashamed to show mine. Get rid of the doubts. Ease the minds of the American people. And you don't have to give a damn what the Ministry of Lies said, but facts are facts, and you put that doubt in people's mind. And if he couldn't have shown it, then people would have known that this foreign occupier was not a United States citizen. There are so many things that John McCain could have come out with, but he didn't. He literally gave this country away because he could have destroyed him very early in the campaign. But instead, he chose to be an echo, not a choice. So the whole Maverick shtick didn't work out. It wasn't real. And what we're faced now in 4 years, this guy, first of all, if you heard any of his press conference today, you didn't hear anything. You just heard the same vacuous rhetoric and cliches from him. He starts by picking a vicious, virulent Clintonite to serve as his chief of staff. That's so much for his quote-unquote work. And I'm tired of this working together crap, reaching across the aisle crap. I would never reach across. I'd wipe my hand. I'd disinfect my hand before I'd reach across the aisle to scum that's in the Democrat Party. Chuck Schumer, who wants to destroy commercial talk radio. Bring it on, Chuck. It'll only be better for the right perspective, because the right perspective will get more listeners than ever when people see that they have no choice on commercial talk radio, when they see that people are muzzled on talk radio. You dare to compare freedom of speech and political opposition and political thought? You dare to compare that to pornography? You crooked son of a bitch, you? And you sit and befoul the United States Senate? Yeah, so bring it on, because it's not going to affect the right perspective. It will only strengthen the right perspective and help us grow. You're going to reach across the aisle to scum like Schmuck Schumer, huh? Who set a bank panic in California? That's who you're going to touch? Or a Democrat Party here in New York State? We had the former disgraced governor, Eliot Spitzer, a filthy, degenerate whoremonger who brought about the destruction of Lehman by persecuting their president. And now he's not going to jail for that, for what he did, his whoremongering. But three other people are? Is that justice? I don't want to live in an occupied country like this. This has become an occupied country. You're going to reach across the aisle to that? No. No way. You better use disinfectant or wear a biohazmat suit if you're going to reach to scum like that. Now, that's what you've got in store. And I'm going to switch over to John, but I got to tell you this. It's my belief, my firm belief, that the foreign occupier wants to bankrupt this country. He wants economic collapse. And why do I say that? Because if he continues to pump this paper they call money for these so-called entitlements, it will cause a complete collapse. And if you bring that about, he can then step in and say, well, we have to have extraordinary measures. Remember, the KGB was originally called the Extraordinary Commission. We're going to need extraordinary measures and powers now to straighten out the economy in the country. We're going to need this so that we can get America back on its feet again. And by doing this, they can introduce his Marxist-Leninist principles, by which the same ones that the coup d'etat was pulled out. That's what he really wants. And he's just bringing in, what a hypocrite. I'm bringing change? You're bringing in the same old Clinton crap. The same old Clinton crap. And why? Because he has to mollify them. Because he can't have the whoremonger and his thing of a wife start attacking and criticizing him. So that's the sop that he's throwing him. He may give her a Supreme Court justice nomination appointment. That may be the way that not only does he get her out, but, you know, he shows them that he's that's their payoff. I'm telling you, it's extremely dangerous. And to see the fact that white people, you know what they reminded me of in this election going to the polls to vote for him? Remember that scene, John, in the great original Time Machine, where when the sirens sounded and the Eloy...
Yeah, they're like they're walking into the trash machine.
Yeah.
They're
hypnotized, they're somnambulant, they're mesmerized.
Ball.
No. That was the Time Machine, and they're marching in there with the Morlocks, so getting ready to eat them.
Right.
And they're walking there, the sirens, and they just drop everything.
Yeah, there was a similar one in a Star Trek, walk into the, they devour them, and then when the siren rings.
So that's what they were like. Zombies.
They don't know anything, Frank.
Well, you know what? This was a disgrace. 98% of blacks voted him strictly because he's black.
Yeah.
And now they turn around and tell you you're racist. You know, first of all, now they're saying, I'm going to criticize the foreign occupier right now. I'm going to stop, and I'm not stopping for 4 years until I get my country back. But that's how they're going to try to muzzle it. And don't think that the Ministry of Lies is not going to be waxing orgasmic over him. Oh, he's so wonderful. First of all, in this country, you shouldn't have the right to vote until you're 35 years old. You should have the same age to vote as the same age to be elected president.
These kids put him in office, a lot of them, and they don't know a damn thing because the schools have already brainwashed them.
Women who went out and voted for this thing, this foreign occupier, and you have to have a literacy test because of the functional illiterates and morons that voted for him. This is how he pulled off the coup d'etat, put this foreign occupation in the White House. And now that, but to say to people, give him a chance, hey, look, no matter what I think of Bush, they didn't give him a chance from day one. He did not have a chance from day one. They viciously attacked him. Now that their boy is in the White House, right. It's, oh, you have to give him a chance. No chance. He had his chance, and unfortunately a coup d'etat was pulled on this country. No chance. I'm going to be on him because that's my right. You don't like it, screw you. You don't like it, go to hell. That's my right, and they're not going to take this microphone from my, you're going to have to pry this microphone from my cold, dead hands. I want my country back! Thank you!
Well, I don't know if I can thank you, Frank, because a lot of it's bad news, but, of course, you hit on all cylinders there. And, of course, like you said, now we're supposed to cooperate. Yeah, well, no, sure, there was no cooperation with George Bush. Let me tell you something, you wouldn't even have had a semblance of an appearance of trying to cooperate after 9/11, if that didn't happen. They would have been on him right away. George Bush was lucky 9/11 came along in a way, because it united the country, even if it was phony, just for a few days. And then the Democrats went right back on the attack. So there was no uniting to come together to support the president when George Bush was elected. I want to know if the Republicans are going to demand to share power. Well, like when the Republicans won the 52 seats in the House and Trent Lott fell for it and decided to give the Democrats some chairmanships of certain chairmanships in the House so that they could feel like they weren't totally defeated. Like, you know, what the hell is the sense in running for office? Well, the Democrats demanded to share power. I want the Republicans to demand to share power right now. But as usual, they don't have the guts to do that, and they don't stand up to the Democrats. And, of course, they're attacking Sarah Palin, and they're still talking about the clothes that the Republican Party bought for her. First of all, she didn't even know how many clothes they bought for her. She didn't even wear half of them. But they don't talk about the $50,000 dresses that the Hollywood gang that supports all the Democrats buy just for one night, for Oscar night, so they can show off and walk down the red carpet and have everyone googly-eyed over them, like in that old Nazi film, too, with the eyes, the glazed eyes, remember that? And that's what the way they are with Obama. And they don't. The kids who voted for him, and Frank's right, people shouldn't have the right to vote until you're 35. Look, if you can't be president because you're not as politically aware until you're 35, then you shouldn't be voting until you're 35 and politically aware enough. To give these kids who are being brainwashed and indoctrinated in our schools a chance to get out there in the real world and find out what the result of their vote is going to be if they don't vote the right way. Not old enough to know. The schools all teach them, Republicans bad, Democrats good. Vote Democrat. And that's why you had all these groups out there trying to round up all these youngsters and get them to register to vote. And if you can tell what a disaster this is. Look, you know what? I'm less worried now than I was on election night or before the election. You know why? Because when I see the people that Obama's picking, I know this is going to be a disastrous administration. But the bad part is that it could drag all of us down with him. And I hope it's not so that Obama, I hope Frank is not right when he says that Obama wants to destroy the economy. Because, first of all, we will be involved. We'll be dragged down with us. But if it happens, that will open the door for a new Republican renaissance. Because the Democrats will have no one else to blame but themselves. They control everything now. But, of course, make no mistake about it. They will try and blame the Republicans anyway. If it's a disaster, they'll say, well, we were left with such a mess at the end of the Bush administration, that it was harder to overcome than we thought. You know the rhetoric that's coming. And John Kerry for Secretary of State, Robert Kennedy for head of the environment, it's going to be the end of the United States. Michael Bloomberg, the mayor here in New York, and this is an example of what we're going to have to put up with. He's a liberal. He's talking about raising all kinds of tax. He wants to raise the real estate tax now 7% again. He wants to take off the the tax break that you get for buying clothes under $100. That will send everyone back over to New Jersey, folks, to buy their clothes again like they were before they rescinded that tax. And now gasoline is a lot cheaper. New Jersey has some of the cheapest gasoline prices. It'd be worth people to do their shopping in New Jersey and fill up the gas tank in New Jersey because it's like 50 cents a gallon less than it is just a few miles away. So that whatever toll they have to pay will be made up in the less amount they'll have to lay out for their gasoline. So liberals never learn their lesson. He wants to raise, you know what he wants to do now they came out with, Frank? I don't know if you heard this. He wants to charge at least 5 cents, yeah, maybe 10 cents a plastic bag,
yeah,
when you go shopping at the supermarket.
Yeah, I heard it.
So it's coming down on us, folks. We're being hit from all sides. You have Obama and his gang of thugs from Chicago talking about raising all kinds of taxes. You have Obama himself. Meanwhile,
or as I call him properly, the foreign occupier.
Yeah, I like that.
And by the way, how did, when you go, you know, I'm applying for a new passport, you know, when I go up to Canada to see Judge Ronald, and I want to thank him for his help. I got to get my birth certificate. I got to get a birth certificate. I want to know something. How did he get a passport? Did he have a birth certificate? Did he have a certificate of birth? Is a certificate of birth valid to use for a passport? How did this guy go in and out of the country? How come that was never challenged on him? And I got to say this. I don't mean to interrupt, but two examples of the stupidity I saw before and after the election. One, I was at a book fair Saturday, and I heard a couple of men walking in front of me, white race traitors, going, we don't need another 4 years of Bush. If this guy doesn't work out, oh, we'll just get some. I said, well, wait a minute. I said, Bush isn't running. I said, and this guy is not a citizen. You know, I went through the, oh, that's ridiculous. And this idiot, this a-hole walks away. And his friend says, well, how could he run and not be a citizen? I said, because they've never asked for his birth certificate. And that's the question. Why wasn't it ever asked for him? And after the election, I was standing with a friend of mine, and I was discussing it, and I called the foreign occupier a piece of crap. So this broad was going into Starbucks, and it's a typical young Obama voter. She got like 20 piercings in her face and her eyebrow, you know, real freak. And she looks and goes, huh, it's my country, too. Well, my friend, who's quite blunt, says, you know, shut the F up. We weren't talking to you. Mind your own business. But why did she have to say that?
Yeah.
Because she's filled with white guilt. And to all these white schmucks that voted out of white guilt, you will rule the day. You will rule the day that you did this, because the foreign occupier, they're going to make sure that you open your mouth. You're going to be too guilt-ridden. You're never going to see white people publicly talk about him the way I've heard people publicly talk about Bush. Yeah. You're going to see a lot of changes, but it was all laid out beforehand.
Yeah, yeah, and we're going to get to our calls, Alex and Paul and Thomas, and we don't like to keep our callers waiting too long. Just want to bring up this typical outrage. How many times have you heard me say just open up a newspaper anywhere in the country now, anywhere in New York, and you find that your money, your tax money is being robbed from you as politicians are talking about raising your taxes because they got us in this mess. This is the latest insanity. Monday night. I didn't know it was so close there.
We're going on a short break. We'll be right back.
And I'll address this, and then we'll start taking your phone calls.
718-761-9996. All lines are lit, but got Alex in Queens, Paul in Florida, and Thomas in Portland, Oregon. The right perspective across the nation.
Oh, I love that girl.
Love that girl.
Oh, 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 please listen to me.
This is The Right Perspective with John and Frank.
To reach John of Staten Island and Frank of Queens.
From west of the Rockies, dial
1-718-761-9996.
East of the Rockies,
1-718-761-9996.
First-time callers may reach The Right Perspective.
Get a code
1-718-761-9996.
And the wildcard line is open at area code
1-718-761-9996.
International callers may reach reach Frank and John by dialing
718-761-9996.
This is
A Right Perspective with
Frank. I hear a new apprentice you have, Emperor. Or should I call you Darth Sidious?
Master Yoda, you survived.
Surprised?
Your arrogance blinds you, Master Yoda. Now you will experience the full power of...
This is The Right Perspective. All lines are lit, but when you hear someone hang up, just dial and get through. John, you want to finish that up before we go?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Just a couple of minutes here, and we'll get right to our phone calls. As everyone's talking about your taxes being raised, folks, listen to this. Tax cheat governor aid sugar daddy payout. Okay, now what does that mean? All right. The governor had an aide whose his name was... Charles O'Byrne, okay, was an ex-priest, okay? So he was Governor Patterson's aide here in New York, David Patterson. He didn't pay his taxes for a few years, and his lawyers now are blaming clinical depression, and get this, this is the new one, and John Filer's syndrome, a purported psychological affliction, that turned O'Byrne, a 49-year-old openly gay ex-Jesuit priest, into a laughingstock. But you know what, folks? While he wasn't paying his taxes, he had money to pay a gay lover that he had.
What is it with these sodomists?
Yeah, well, remember we were saying, Frank,
yeah.
The Catholic Church is turned into, unfortunately?
Yeah.
The Catholic Church was so desperate for priests that they probably didn't screen their people.
No.
And the gays hating the Catholic Church much as they did were determined to destroy it. So that's where they could get a lot of male lovers, probably.
Sure.
And that's why they infested the priesthood.
Sure, the seminary is like being on a cruise ship for them.
But there's where your tax money. This guy didn't pay his taxes. So in New York, they're talking about raising taxes all over the place, but he had money to pay his gay lover. Okay, and that's the obsession that gays have with not doing the right thing, and the only thing that matters to them is having their gay sex, okay? And here's another one. DC 37, that's a union here in New York, gets 4% hikes in deal with city. With economic uncertainty growing, the city's largest municipal union agreed yesterday to a tentative contract that provides the same 4% raises won earlier by other civilian union. Now, these unions that are all run by the left, they get their raises, and they're going to get another 4% next year. There's no stopping them. There's no sacrifice for anything run by liberals.
No.
But your taxes are going to have to go up. And that's why, folks, you're going to have to be on the offensive for the next 4 years. You're going to have to start getting on your computers. You're going to have to start letting these thugs, these liberal thugs, and that's what they are in Washington, know that you're not going to put up with them stealing your money while they turn this country into a socialist state.
Absolutely. And you know what? A good victory for decency. Sodomite marriages were defeated in three states.
Yes, yeah.
And now they want to overturn. You're not going to overturn anything, you filthy.
They're trying to do it by intimidation.
That's
they're out there marching and screaming and hollering and trying to attack the Mormon church because they dare to disagree with them.
That's right. They could scream and shout all they want.
But you know what, Frank? I'll bet you they win eventually. They'll find some judge.
Sure.
And that's why I'm worried about the fairness doctrine.
That's right.
Because Obama, you see, they'll go about it slowly, folks.
Mm.
First, Obama will appoint enough judges where they can, if the Republicans or these radio stations who are privately owned want to take it to the courts, they'll have all judges ready to do Obama's bidding for him.
That's
and the
right.
Democrats bidding.
Sure.
That's why it's so dangerous.
Sure. But the foreign occupier will have them. You know, they're going to do anything they can to appease the foreign occupier in the White House. But you know what? It backfired on him because getting all these blacks out to vote, they voted down the homosexual marriage. And now they're saying, like some letter in the New York Times, I can't see how it's terrible that black people that would vote against another minority's rights. Well, that's too bad.
Well, you know what it is, Frank? Through.
Yeah.
If there's one thing that blacks despise, it's homosexuals.
Yes, the down low.
That's right, they do, folks. And they certainly they despise amongst their own the worst.
Right.
Oh, they hate, they despise homosexuals. And rightfully so. They have a right. I don't despise them as being homosexual. You know, whatever you are, you are.
I think
you're probably born that way. But I despise their tactics.
That's right.
And their intolerance.
That's right. And intimidation tactics.
That's right. And their demands to get what they want no matter what. And you know why they want this gay marriage to be legal? Because they want the government to pay for their medical bills when they get AIDS.
That's right.
You know, it was bankrupting them before it was legal. So if marriage becomes the same as between a man and a woman, they're entitled to all the medical benefits that anybody else is. So they want to be free to go ahead and do what they want. And if they get any medical bills, the jerk taxpayer will pay for it in the long run anyway.
And you know what, though? The country did not vote for the echo, not a choice. The country is not left-leaning. A lot of people were just disgusted at an echo, not a choice, as a Republican nominee. Plus, they decided that they just wanted to vote out the Republicans. So, but it has really, the country is culturally still to the right, and hopefully 4 years we will take our nation back from us and get rid of the foreign occupier in the White House. Because I'm going to say it constantly for the next 4 years. I want my country back. And if you need, you're going to need the right perspective. Why? Because as times get worse and worse, as the grip of oppression starts now, as they get, they're going to have the fairness doctrine, you're going to have very few programs to listen to. This is bought a time. This is private. We don't have to worry about that. It doesn't do anything. If we went off shortwave, we still have the internet. So if you want to help keep the right perspective on the air, and we desperately need your help, we're not going to be here. We desperately need your help. And that is by making a contribution to WWCR. Not to us, because we pay for our own time, but to help us by making this contribution to WWCR. You make out a check or money order to WWCR, whatever you can. And I'm sure rather than giving 10 bucks to Hollywood to see a crap movie, that sure could help the right perspective stay on the air. Or more, whatever you can. We really need it. It's crunch time. You send that or any snail mail you may have to Frank and John, Box 117, 117, 9508, 9508, 4th Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11209. You make it out to WWCR. It never goes to us. And if you want to be anonymous, you don't have to sign your name. That's all right. Do it on a money order. We'll still gladly help us. That'll be great. You make it out to WWCR. And you send that to, along with snail mail, to Frank and John, Box 117, 9508 4th Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11209. That's Frank and John, Box 117, 9508 4th Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11209. Help us stay on the air on shortwave. Otherwise, we just go to the internet. But we desperately need your help. As crunch time is coming, we haven't met our goal yet, and we have to meet it to stay on the air. So by doing this, if you like the program and you want the program to stay on the air, because you're not going to have much in the coming days under the foreign occupation government now that's in the White House, you're going to need it because they're going to try to destroy freedom of speech electronically. They don't want it. For Schmuck Schumer to compare freedom of speech to pornography. This man is an abomination. But that's what New York elects. Yeah. That's what comes out of this crap hole. Yeah. The whole East, the whole Northeast is worthless. New Jersey puts that mummy, Frank Lautenberg, back in the Senate. That mummy.
90 years old.
That's what they put back in.
But John McCain was too old.
Right, right. So make out a check of money order. Put your money where your mouth is if you like the program. People say they like it. Do something to keep it on shortwave. Frank, especially if you don't have an internet connection. Frank and John, Box 117, 9508 4th Avenue, Brooklyn, New York. You make it out to WWCR. That and any snail mail you want to send us. And your help will be truly, truly appreciated. Right. Tom in Portland, call back soon. Let's go to Halifax. Let's go to Alex in Queens. Welcome to The Right Perspective.
Hi, Alex.
John from Staten Island, Frank from Queens. Hey.
Thanks for waiting.
I've been listening to talk radio for like the last 2 years, and I'm 20 years old. I've been listening to your archives since July of this year.
Yes.
Wow.
And I voted this Tuesday. You know, I'm a biracial guy, you know, and I'm in college. I didn't vote for Obama. I voted for McCain Palin, but, you know, John McCain's problem was that, you know, he was running from the center and he was trying to pull in people from the right and the left. And Obama, really, I think he was more assertive. He was wrong on almost everything. But he was more assertive and he believed in what he was saying. And that's why he was able to pull in more people from the center, I think.
Yeah.
Well, he ran a very slickly run campaign. He knew how to manipulate, and he had the Ministry of Lies, which is what I call the media, on his side.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and plus, you had an echo, not a choice, with John McCain. I mean, a maverick. He's a maverick. What the hell was that?
And he had more than one speech. I memorized John McCain's speech after the second time.
That's right.
Everywhere he went, he gave the same speech. He didn't adjust anything for current situation or current events.
And this guy, you know, McCain, you know, I think a lot of it was maybe white fear or something like that. But he wouldn't go after the Democrats on this credit crisis. He should have just said, listen, you can't. You know, it wasn't about deregulation, and you really have to pin the Democrats down on this. It's about deregulating credit standards. You can't just give out affirmative action loans to people, you know, who can't afford them. You have to have standards. It's not about regulation so much. It's about credit standards. And if he had just, if he kept harping on that, I think he could have pulled it off. But also, if you looked at his plan, you know, McCain, you know, he was going to give amnesty, you know, in with a cap and trade. So he really was the worst one they could have put up. And even some people, other people like Osage, I hear him say maybe he was the fall guy, you know.
Yeah.
So
I don't believe that. The party under George Bush, there was no leadership of the base. George Bush cursed us out when he picked, I forget her name, for the Supreme Court choice.
Harriet Myers.
Right. He cursed us out when we went against the, Dubai Ports deal, when we went against the Immigration Reform Act. He spent like a drunken sailor. You know, his record is very mixed on foreign policy. I have an article I got to bring down from Foreign Affairs that said, you'll miss the lonesome cowboy. And it said on certain foreign policy, he was excellent. But on other things, he was terrible, and he did not get out and energize people. He if you listen to his speech the other day, it sounded like he's ready to croak. He doesn't, you know, he just...
Yeah, but I can tell you this, you know, as much as the Republicans, you know, didn't like George Bush, and he could have sealed the border after 9/11, but I think after about a year of Obama, and, you know, I think after what they really see what he wants to do with this country, I think they're going to be wishing for George Bush. I think they're going to wish that he was still in the White House. I think people are going to miss Bush. Maybe not initially.
Yeah.
But, you know, after about a couple years of Obama, you know, the problem with Obama is this. There's a $10 trillion, you know, public debt. And, you know, you can't use fiscal liberalism to solve, you know, a $10 trillion, when you're $10 trillion in the red. So, you know, what he's asked to do, and, you know, Obama's going to be a disaster, just on economic policy, you know, and I try to explain this to an Obama supporter, you know, at my school. You know, he was a white guy. I told him, I said, listen, you know, this is a private economy, you know, and, you know, it's a free enterprise, competitive free enterprise, private economy. The federal government is a public entity, and, you know, a public entity cannot make private entities do anything. The only thing they could do is levy taxes and incentivize corporations to come in. So when Obama says, oh, I'm going to create jobs, the federal government doesn't create anything.
No.
You know, all it could do is just levy the taxes and protect the country. So
that's
investors
right.
will come in and feel safe.
That's,
so
that's right, but just
really,
no, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, but, you know, and that's the thing. And, you know, so many, you know, I'm a biracial person, but, you know, so many blacks, you know, unfortunately, you know, they've really been socialized into this ideology of black liberalism and all this other stuff.
Let me tell you something. We have
but
a...
I think,
we have
it's going to take a lot of years for them to unlearn all this stuff.
Well, I don't know if it ever will, because the way the media is, the way the educational system is, the way people have been propagandized. It's funny. We are very good friends with a biracial fella in Georgia who was in talk radio, and he was totally against Obama. He, you know, I spoke to him. He said, Frank, how do you put in a community organizer? He said, I try to tell black people about this. They don't want to hear it. So you know what happens? You have to say then, in the coming years, are they will still not criticize him, because it's going to be seen as a betrayal, and they're just going to, they are going to get screwed worse. You see, that's the whole thing that people can't understand with this guy. He doesn't give a crap about, he is a sociopath. He doesn't give a crap about anybody's race. He only cares about his vision of himself. Do you know that across the world they're saying, oh, we consider him the president of the world? Think of how ignorant people are to think that. And when he is brought down, as eventually always happens to politicians, a lot of people are going to be up for a very big shock. Very good.
And the only thing Obama is going to do, not only is he going to be, you know, depending on how far to the left he goes, the only thing he's not going to be able to keep his promises on spending because of the
of course
debt.
Not.
And the only thing he's going to do is let people down. And if not, he's only going to inspire, you know, and we don't need it, but he's going to inspire the next generation of black Russians and in this country. And, you know, we don't need it. And the country's going to get more conservative, at least fiscally, because of the debt. So, you know, Obama, and I think it's good that, you know, the country could elect a black guy, but this guy is going to be a lame duck.
Look at Clarence Thomas. I didn't hear the same defense for Clarence Thomas. I don't hear the same defense for Ward Connolly. I don't hear the same defense for Michael Steele. They went through Michael Steele's garbage. I didn't hear people get outraged over that. But
it's really ideological.
It is. All right, Alex, we're going to go. You're a young man whose head is straight on his shoulder.
Yes.
And please call us again. It's a pleasure.
All right.
Good night. Let's go to Paul in Florida.
Good to hear a young man with
his head on his shoulders.
That's right.
And
hasn't been totally lost in our school system.
Paul, who called 718-761-9996. And we'll get to Scott in Halifax in a minute. Welcome to The Right Perspective, Paul.
Hi, Frank and John.
Hi.
I would like to think that our republic is not dead, but I believe it is. You know, it's funny. We get together over the air, and many times, because of the way shortwave works, we're in different places. When President Bush was elected in 2000, my wife and I were on a cruise out in the Atlantic, in the Bahamas, and we were listening to you on aboard ship on shortwave. And I remember you gentlemen saying, this is the beginning of the death of our republic, and in specific, not President Bush's election, but the fact that big, bloated, sweaty, glutton, psychotic, eco-nutcase Al Gore was having a spoiled brat hissy fit and flying plane loads of grease balls with law degrees in from all over the country to oppose what was, in fact, the legitimately won election of President Bush. So when people today, and I hear in talk radio, people say, Oh, we have to give him a chance. We want. I don't give this bum a chance.
No.
Yeah. He is a communist.
That's right.
People say, doesn't he know that raising taxes will hurt the economy? Frank and John, he knows full well, and he is following what Saul Alinsky instructed to do, push the system past design limits. Why? To collapse it.
That's right.
This is a sadistic, evil, when I look at that, this creep and his black lipstick that he wears and those hooded, those sleepy eyes of a killer, I see drive-by eyes. I see a slick, sly operator. And as far as this pit bull, Emmanuel, they're trying to say, oh, he has a track record of working with everyone. Yeah, sure. And Joe Stalin worked very well with the Ukrainians, too. Yeah. Great guy that he was. This guy is a mentally ill scumbag. Orthodox Jew, my foot, at a victory party. He dishonors his God at a party with Bubba in the 90s. This guy stabbed the table with a steak knife saying death to betrayers, and he defines betrayers. Any politician or journalist who dares to question the imperial dirt ball that in that case, Clinton, and now this thing that got itself elected. Daddy was a terrorist over with the Irgun, but then he became a pediatrician. And get a load of this. Mommy Emmanuel, she ran a nightclub in Chicago. Now, you know, you can run a grocery store in Chicago, and you're a grocer. You run a nightclub in Chicago, you are a member of the Chicago mob. Wake up, people.
That's right.
And you know what gets me, Paul? You always hear white liberals and blacks talk about Martin Luther King's great speech. Judge a man by the content of his character, not the color of his skin. So what did we have this election cycle? We had 96% of blacks who voted for a guy, not because of the content of his character, but because if you really look at his character, the guy is the antithesis of what this country was founded on. They voted strictly because they saw a black face. So I don't want to hear anything. In fact, the Martin Luther King holiday should be rescinded as of right now. They voted for a guy because of his color.
And just to make the point about that, he's not content just to be this half-caste, conflicted individual. They actually have to put black lipstick on him just to make the con job work better. And as you say, John, these people did exactly the opposite of what Martin Luther King always preached to do. Look beyond the man's skin. Look at his character. No, this was just about black. And as you gentlemen say, we have a lot of these stupid, imbecilic white people voting guilt. I'm sorry, Frank. My ancestors on one side were in this country in the 1600s. On the other side, they came from Italy somewhere probably in the late 1800s. We didn't have anything to do with slavery. And even if my ancestors did, those were my ancestors. What I say is bomb. Lenin's lawn jockey, as we're calling him around here. Take it up with my ancestors. You don't take it up with me. And you know what I like to? People have smartened up. Since the Clintons gave us an eight-year-long education and con artists, people have smartened up. And now we foresee what they're going to do, so they go out and expose them. Ann Coulter and Bob Grant the other day said, oh, I know what this Lenin's – she didn't say Lenin's lawn jockey. I said that. But she said, I know what he's going to do. He's going to have a lot more Waco-style raids.
I heard that. Yeah.
Well,
and,
you see, by saying
Have people smartened up? You had 62 million people who voted for this communist.
I understand. They're guilt-ridden idiots, and they're as you say, they're just voting skin color. Yeah. But other people have said, okay, we know what he's going to do, or we anticipate he's going to start making a gun grab, so let's go out and tell the world that's what he's going to do. And now we've spoiled his advantage, which is stealth and surprise. Just like people are saying, no, he's not going to be a centrist. He's going to tax and tax and tax and demolish businesses. Well, now he's between a rock and a hard place. I don't think it'll stop him, but it may well keep some people. It will at least give some people who will listen a roadmap of what lies ahead on the road to perdition from this two-bit lick-spittle bootblack to the Chicago mob who can't even prove his parentage. But we do know one thing. Hawaii is not the place of his birth.
Yeah, well, this election was stolen.
That's right.
It was stolen. It was stolen by Acorn, and it was stolen by foreign money that was hidden.
That's right.
About $460 million compared to $80 million? Where did that money come from? I'll guarantee you it came from Arab countries.
You bet it came from Arab countries. And you know what's interesting? The Hudson Institute has a little quick article out recently that said he might not be all that welcome in Islamic countries because many see him as, because after all, he was known, he was registered as Islam when he was a little kid there in Indonesia before his communist mother kicked his tail back to Hawaii because his stepfather couldn't stand him, obviously. But he's no longer an Islamist. Many Islamo-fascists over there see him as an apostate, and you know the penalty for that.
Yeah.
Just ask.
Yeah, but you know what, Paul? We can talk about bombers as we want. The Republicans are at fault for this loss as well. The money you can't do anything about. But John McCain, he had to be Mr. Righteous. He should have said, "Okay, you're not going to take take private money. I'm going to take private money." He should have.
He's a good man, John. He's a good man. I don't think that Obama. He's a nice man.
Yeah. Yes, and you know, Joe.
And he should have blamed the Democrats for this economic situation. But you know, this Rahm Emanuel in the 1980s was involved with Fannie Mae. He's another one of that got ignored the red flags going up.
He's one of the thugs. He's one of the larcenous Chicago mobsters, along with Barney Frank and Christopher Dodd.
They should all be in jail. And I might remind Republicans that the reason Alphonse D'Amato lost his seat to Charles Schumer, who's going to cause so much trouble now with the Fairness Doctrine coming back, Al D'Amato decided to become a Mr. In-Betweener, Mr. Moderate. And that's when he lost his seat in the Senate.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Bye-bye. Keep the faith. I want my country back. 718-761-9996. We're going to get ready to wrap it up. Then we're going to get to Scott in Halifax. In fact, we'll start to put Scott on.
The board is blazing tonight.
Okay. Welcome to the Right Perspective, Scott. Oh, I lost the first caller.
He'll
call back.
Carrie's. Oh. Can't tell Carrie's to call back.
Yeah. Welcome to the Right Perspective, Scott.
Hi. How are you?
All right.
Well, I really don't know what to do.
Well, hold it right there. You'll say it on the Internet. And this is the Right Perspective.
We'll end the show.
We'll end the show and send us the help we need to stay on shortwave. This is a national emergency. We've got a foreign occupier in the White House.
And we'll end this portion of the show with a quote from the great Aristotle, who said, "It is better to rise from life as from a banquet, neither thirsty nor drunken." Thank you.
I want my country back.
The Right Perspective.
Well, it's all.
And it is not all right. Our White House is being occupied. A foreign occupation in the White House. Let's go back to Scott in Halifax, Nova Scotia. For those of you who don't know, that means he's in Canada. I've been waiting patiently. Okay, Scott. Welcome back to the Right Perspective.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Yes, Scott.
Yes.
Yeah. That's actually Soviet Canada, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Behind enemy lines here. Well, I don't really know what to tell you guys. I don't even really know what to say.
I know the feeling.
Except that you really have condolences.
Well, never has a country so willingly committed suicide, as we saw.
Well, you know, living up here, I've had to listen to these morons go on and on about this guy for the past year. Even when he was running against Hillary there, I've heard people going on about him for the past year as if he had already won the election. And I was so sick and tired of listening to these guys because I knew there was only one reason alone, that everybody was rallying this guy. Because he was black.
Yeah.
They thought that that was some kind of an enlightened
right.
choice, you know, like, we don't want to vote for this. Dodgy yeah. old white guy.
Yeah, he was the right type of black. He was a lefty.
That's right.
Well, you know what? Around here, at least anyway, I don't think anybody even knew that because I don't think there's one in 100 people that could tell you what the man stood for. Like, not one in 100 people. And
yeah, that makes it even worse.
Why is he so great? Like, tell me why he's a great man. Why do you think he should be the president of the U.S. and the leader of the free world? You know, nobody could tell me that. Well, because he's cool, he's hip, you know, he's great. You know, like, that's not a reason. Give me a reason. I want to know why he's going to be a great leader. Nobody could tell me. I mean, to this day, I still don't know what they were thinking.
Well,
I know what they were thinking.
It shows how shallow people are today.
Well, yeah, exactly. The people are fickle. I mean, there's a saying of that in Latin. I can't think of it, but basically the whim of the people are fickle.
Yeah. No, well, is it going to be cool and hip when they find out that their wallet's empty?
Yeah. Well, here's what I like to tell people about this Obama guy. And you guys probably won't agree with this at all. But from a Canada or Soviet Canada perspective, I always tell these dopey Canadians who are all rah-rah-rah about Obama, well, you realize both Obama and Hillary were saying they wanted to renegotiate the free trade agreement. Probably their advantage. So you can bet he's not going to give us any special treatment. I can see now they're going to be like, oh, no, that's no big deal. Blah, blah, blah. Just as long
yeah.
as he's in there.
Well, you never know. He may negotiate it to be to Canada's benefit more than the United States with the way that this guy hates his own country.
Well, from your guys' point of view, yeah. that would be a good thing, right? But, I mean, here in Canada, if I say to people, these dopey Canadians that were screaming about how wonderful he was, I'd say, well, he's probably going to try to screw us over on like the softwood lumber thing. But you know what? I guarantee you, I mean, from a U.S. point of view, that makes perfect sense to do that. But from our point of view, I point to these people and I say, well, what do you think about that? You think he's going to be so great now if he's going to be doing that to us?
Well, trade agreements are supposed to be to the benefit of both all countries.
Yes, exactly.
So
that's the whole point.
Yeah.
But, and if he does do that, it gives you some kind of benefit. Everybody goes, yay, that's good. But then up here, everybody's going to go, oh, let's do that. It's going to throw us into a whole round of economic crises, and we're going to have a big fight on our hand, a big tiff about that. But I'll guarantee you, all these dopey white liberals and everything around here will still be. He could do everything wrong. Mark my words. He can do everything wrong, and they will rally to that man's side like I don't know what.
Yeah, because to do otherwise, you must be a bigot.
Oh, yeah.
The same answer. You should have told them the same people. You're voting. You want the American people to vote for the same party that caused this worldwide economic meltdown. You're going to reward the people who caused all of this problem.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
And the Democrat Party really is an outlaw party. They're bullies. They're stealing election. They're trying to steal the election in Minnesota right now. They have a Senate race out there between Norman Coleman and what's his name from Saturday Night?
Franken.
Al Franken. And Norm Coleman was ahead. He won the election by 700 and something votes. So, of course, they demanded a recount. And all the recounts, all of the newfound votes, every single one of them just happened to be for Al Franken. And guess who's in charge of the recount? A guy who was involved with Acorn.
Nah.
So there you go. Now, why do Tell me, I want to know why the Attorney General of Minnesota doesn't stop in and stop this process. When you see one side lose almost 400 votes and all of them go to the one side and the other guy is involved with a group that's obviously pro-Democrat, nobody steps in and says something and stops the process right there and ends it and starts it over? I mean, he may be entitled to a recount, but it should be a fair and righteous recount, not an agenda-driven recount. Every one of the refound votes just happens to be for Al Franken. Did you ever hear of a recount being conducted that way where all of the new votes, none of the new votes were for Norm Coleman? So the Republicans really, I think they're filing some kind of a suit over there. But whenever Democrats don't get their way, they either try and steal or intimidate. You know, in Pennsylvania...
Exactly what they do here.
Yeah.
All the lefty liberals, they fight dirty, too. They're dirty fighters. When something doesn't go away, they have a little hit.
These are no-holds-barred, back-alley, dirty street fighters, and the Republicans are trying to be the righteous.
They're trying to fight the noble fight like some kind of a knight, but you don't reason with a rabid dog. You can't cure it. You just have to put it down. And same things happen here all the time.
All right.
Well, I was sad that neither of you got up here in August to the conference thing, but it would have been nice to run into either of you.
I'll be up in Canada next year at that time, hopefully, and
well, maybe we'll bump into each other,
yes.
Or I'll keep in touch with you via the email.
Okay. Do that.
Okay, well, and you guys take it easy.
Until then, keep up the good fight.
Yeah, I'll do what I can when I can.
Okay, take care. Good to hear
from
you.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, Scott.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that's because Scott dialed 718-761-9996, 718-761-9996. We have a line open.
And, you know, talk about intimidation.
Yeah.
They were trying to steal and intimidate voters in Pennsylvania. When Don from Pennsylvania is on the line, we're going to get to him shortly. But this is what happened. The Black Panthers are standing outside the voting places with batons in their hand. And, you know, in the stupid uniforms and the sunglasses.
Yeah, right.
And they were trying to intimidate people. And this is one of the Black Panthers was confronted by a reporter. And this is the exchange that took place.
Did you tell that gentleman that you were tired of white supremacy, or did your colleague say that?
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know why you're coming up here and making it look like we are doing something wrong. We are just standing here right now, just serving our people.
Okay.
Like
well, that's terrific.
What are you doing?
Is there any reason in particular why you're wearing that uniform?
And all that there is not necessary.
Well, I didn't mean to harass you. I'm just here to ask a question. That's all.
I don't know why you're here at the polling place with the camera in the first place.
Well, this is our constitutional right to be at the polling place to record the...
I don't want you recording me. How about the community doesn't want you recording them? People come to vote, and they come to vote in a peaceful atmosphere. They don't come to have somebody taking cameras and microphones and putting it in their face.
Well, do people come to vote expecting to see someone with a nightstick out front? Was that...
Nobody here has a nightstick. And so I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, there was a person with a nightstick. We have video of it.
I don't care about what was. I'm talking about what is.
Okay, well, that person was escorted out of here by the police, correct?
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right. Well, we have video that shows the person with the nightstick standing right next to you on this very curb.
You have me telling you that you have no authorization to be here at this polling place. That's what you got.
Oh.
Well, he's got it all backwards. What's more peaceful, a camera or a nightstick?
That's right.
These people come here. People don't come here to be recorded. Well, people don't come to vote to be intimidated by thugs.
That's right.
With nightsticks and trying to stand around, you know, with your arms folded and the sunglasses trying to look tough.
Yeah,
they all talk about the skinheads, but I don't see any skinheads at any polling places during this last election cycle trying to intimidate people. But yet they always have documentaries about hate in America.
Yeah.
And they show the KKK, you know, the two or three that are still there in the organization, or the same five skinheads.
Yeah.
But you got Black Panthers that carry weapons around in Dallas. Remember they were in Dallas, Texas, trying to intimidate people?
Yeah.
Carrying automatic weapons?
That's right.
A couple of years back?
That's right.
You don't see any skinheads doing that.
No, you don't. That, they don't exist. It was like they're supposed to be, what do you call it, skinheads, two skinheads wanted to assassinate Obama. Turned out to be a fraud. Didn't find anything. They had another one. So it's not. It's non-existence. It's just a straw man put up so that you are smeared as being an extremist. And it's so obvious. You want to play the song the news guy sent us, and then we'll get to Don and Storm.
Yeah, this is the I Want My Country Back song. This is the first time we're hearing it as well.
I had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country, who all began to dream the same dream. And when the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they awoke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, we want this country back. When the stars and stripes forever symbolize your glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon a glory, it's hard to fight that feelings of shame. Warp it up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. Right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more back.
All right, we should send a copy of that to Obama.
To the foreign occupier in the White House.
Yeah.
Now let's go to a patriot. Let's go to Don in Pennsylvania, and I hope Tom in Portland will come back. He got a little impatient.
Yeah.
You know, don't call too early in the show, folks, because the first half hour at least, you know, we have our monologues and discussions. So You know, if you call too early, you're going to get frustrated. So let's hope he calls back. Welcome to the Right Perspective, Don.
Hello, Frank and John. Before I get to the election, it's interesting when you were bringing up this Black Panther. He's angry because he's being filmed with a nightstick, holding a nightstick, intimidating voters. But yet, if a cop was hitting a drug dealer over the head with a stick, that he would be the one with the camera.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. They
as
only...
far as this election goes, I think Khrush said that you could spit in Americans' face and they'll think it's due.
Right.
And about the right piece of fruit falling in your hands. The media is—I won't even say they're an organ of the Democratic Party. They're just an organ of these communists. You know, I heard Chris Matthews say that his job is to help.
Yeah,
this,
I know.
This work.
And then they'll try to deny that they're biased.
It's, you know, and when John McCain gave his concession speech, you know what that reminded me of?
Right.
Remember when South Africa was handed over to Mandela?
Unfortunately, yes.
Wasn't it creepy the way that looked? Didn't it look a lot like that?
It certainly did.
It really looked like that. It looked like, you know, this is a great day and all this.
Right.
It was really, really creepy.
Yeah, and you know what else was creepy was when Obama gave his victory speech. Did you hear how he tried to sound like Martin Luther King? We may not get there in the first year. We may not even get there in the first term. But I can assure you that, now get this, we as a people will get there. Now, all the stupid white schmucks in the audience with their glassy-eyed look, they're all cheering. They don't even know that this is a phrase that they use in the community.
That's
we
right.
as a people. He's talking to about blacks.
Well,
he's at the expense of whites.
Communists always have much work to do. Their work is never done. It's never finished. It's always a work in progress. And, you know, I'm listening to this pig Bill Maher, and he says,
what a devil.
You know, The new majority, they used to talk about the silent majority, the new majority. The new majority is the young people that are not white. These old people, these voters are getting older. You know, it's just taken your country has just been taken away from you is what it is. I mean, let's face it. We have a guy that is president that maybe was, he's not even a citizen. And then he gets a chief of staff that's a dual citizen.
That's right.
So, I mean, like you guys say, what does it mean to be an American?
Well, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, the Romans asked the same thing. What does it mean to be a Roman after the empire started to crumble because they brought in outsiders?
Yeah, when Septimus, this guy is like Septimus Severus, who extended citizenship to anybody in the entire empire, and therefore Roman citizens, the Romans lost their unique place in the world. And that's what he is, because Septimus Severus was called Carthage's Revenge. Now, when you listen to the foreign occupier, and that's what I have to call him because that's what he is. When you listen to the foreign occupier, he hates this country. This country, according to the foreign occupier, is responsible for every evil in the world. Now, how is it I saw this reading one thing he wrote in the New York Times and all of these people in talk radio finally are at least beginning to come out from underneath their rocks and say it? Come on, it was right there. What do I have, a unique gift? I said South Africa. How many times did I always say to our friends in South Africa that South Africa's present is our future? Well, the future is now. The future is now, Don, because the handover has occurred. And I want to see a scumbag like Bill Maher. I want to see that scumbag and what's the name, that ugly freak, Whoopi Goldberg. Well, how are the comedians going to make fun of him? Huh? Are they going to make fun of him the way they made fun of Bush?
Yeah.
They're still talking about Nixon. Could you imagine this? Remember we had on...
Yeah, well, Obama brought up Nancy Reagan today.
Yeah.
What's so disgusting is, you know, these people play into it, too. I swear, you know, you talk about the trust. Yeah. I don't know if it was Frank or John, which one of you guys was talking about the trust.
Frank.
But you know, you start to think to yourself, did McCain maybe vote for Obama? What the hell's going on?
Yeah.
No, I mean, you're looking at this and you're saying, Like, you know, that somebody earlier, one of the callers said, I don't listen to Savage, but Savage said he's a fall guy.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe the guy's got a point there. It's like you've been bitten with some kind of venom, yeah. And you're paralyzed, like yeah. You can't fight against it.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. And by the way, speaking of Savage, he stole another one of Frank's sayings this week. Was he talking about Frank?
The Nazis? I want to thank Mike Savage for listening to Right Perspective and yeah. Getting education that he needs in history because he obviously doesn't have it. You know what I remember when I said that Obama is like Hitler? They thought they could control Hitler, and then they turned around. They couldn't control him. They made
he repeated the same thing.
Same thing, word for word. Thanks, Mike. You know, glad you're listening.
A lot of times, though, I find myself, I'm sure Savage isn't, a lot of it is subliminal. You know, I see a lot of the same things that you guys see.
Sure.
And I may, like you brought up one time, I mean, there's many things that I parroted right back to you. The thing with the UNESCO brown man. And I think I might have repeated it back to you almost the way you said it, how creepy it was. Yeah. But even before you said it, I was thinking, like, I remember that character, that faceless statue. And this is what we have now, like you said. This is our president.
You know, when things don't get too much better, because his policies have got to be a failure, with the way and the, to bring all the people back from the Clinton regime that left us in a recession because Clinton's horrible policies of suing everybody that didn't give enough to Democrat causes, including Microsoft, which brought down the stock market toward the end there of his administration, and high taxes that kept the economy from growing at what should have been twice the rate in the 1990s, thanks to the great groundwork that Ronald Reagan laid in the 1980s. A lot of people don't know this because he was the luckiest president in the history of this country. The economy still grew in the 1990s, thanks to Ronald Reagan's work. But it all came to a crescendo at the end of his administration, and we ended up in a recession. Well, familiarity breeds contempt, as the old saying goes. And a lot of people, it won't be the blacks, because blacks will just go on race alone. But
blacks
a lot of
are being used as the useless idiots.
Yes, but a lot of
they're using blacks for.
But a lot of white people will be rue.
That's right.
Rue the day that they pulled that lever for Barack Obama.
Well, it's funny you mentioned how these idiots are. Election night was kind of warm and. I went out on a step, and I didn't vote. I was just sitting out there smoking a cigar and cracked open a beer after work.
Oh, what kind of cigar?
And these two girls coming up the street, and they're banging on doors. Now, the polls close at 8 o'clock in Pennsylvania. I guess it was it had to be close to 7 o'clock. They're banging on doors. This is the most important election that there is, ever is. You got to get out there, and Obama, we really need him in the pen. I guess they're like about 20. In their early 20s, and one of them started walking toward me, and I said, well, they started talking. I said, I'm not interested. I said, I could talk to you for hours. I said, the Republic is over. I said, the people that found this country must be rolling in their grave. They started giggling at me like I was stupid.
Yeah.
And they're walking.
I would have told them, you're right, this is an important election, and that's why I'm voting for John McCain.
Well, it seems like you didn't have a choice. It seems like the like a communist system where they put two people up.
Then I would have worded it differently. I would have said that that's why I'm not voting for Obama.
Well, yeah, I didn't say I was. I don't even think I mentioned to them that I was voting or not. I just told them this republic is finished.
Yeah. By the way, did you notice how he referred to the founders?
Mm.
Yeah.
In his victory speech, the Clinton disease is carried over ever since Bill Clinton started to use that term, because he didn't want to upset the women's liberals who were big supporters of Hillary. It's the founding fathers.
Well, you know, it's funny they talk about, they're always bringing up this slavery, but yet here's a guy, Obama, that his family may have been involved in the slave trade himself. It's so insane.
Yeah. That's right.
They don't care. They don't care. He's black. We're voting for him.
Yeah,
That's it.
His family were Mohammedans, and the Mohammedan blacks were the ones who were the sellers to the whites. I mean, that's a fact. So that's the irony of it. They're always screaming about white people, and they got one of them who's black and was family were in the slave trade. So, please.
And you know what, Frank and folks, the way that blacks in this country look upon this, and not all blacks, but unfortunately a huge majority of them, now Obama is the slave master in the plantation house.
Right.
And Whitey, you are the slaves.
That's right.
Well, wait. But also, there's going to be a lot of blacks and minorities that if they don't get their way, they're going to turn on this guy.
Oh, sure.
They're going to turn on him. It's going to be unbelievable because he's going to be just a puppet of this guy, really, when you think about it, he's in a really bad position.
Yeah. Well, you can't satisfy
he really is.
Anybody, but anything he fails at, they'll blame it on white people or they'll blame it on the Republicans. They set him up to fail.
That's right.
And the way the media, they use the part of people's brain like, you know, we have a country where people would buy pet rocks, any kind of fad,
yeah.
Send their pet rocks on vacation. That's the part of the brain that this media appeals to. They talk about Sarah Palin's dress. They don't want to talk about his citizenship.
Yeah,
right.
They talk about maybe John McCain called his wife a name.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's so silly the way this thing went.
Yeah, they talked about.
I can't believe these brain-dead idiots went for this.
Yeah, I can believe them, unfortunately, Don. They talked about her, Sarah Palin's dress, but they didn't talk about the fact that she was exonerated after those phony Troopergate charges. She was. You know, she was cleared of any ethics violations. Everything was dismissed. They didn't talk about that very much, though, did they?
Well, they drum it in. Like, they mentioned the fact that she made the mistake and she called Africa a country. But yet, when Barack Obama said he went to 57 states, they just dropped it like a hot potato.
That's right.
Of course.
If the people don't see it on TV, it doesn't mean anything to them.
No. Well, half the kids that are being taught by liberals in our schools... the kids can't even point to where Africa is.
That's right.
But they won't blame their liberal teachers.
No.
Teach a kid to put pierce his face up and you know put all kind of safety pins in his nose and everything.
Yeah,
you can tell him to figure out a way to get him to vote for this guy.
That's the new liberal populism. All right, Don, we're going to run along.
Take care.
Take
care. A blazing board here. And Carries, we're going to get to you soon, and we're just going to, I guess we'll go to Storm. He's been waiting almost a half an hour.
Because he dialed 718-761-9996. You want to go to Storm?
Yeah, and the Carries will be with you shortly.
Right, 718-761-9996. Welcome to the Right Perspective.
Welcome back, Storm.
Yes, hello.
Hi.
How you doing? Okay, I got a couple of things I want to say.
Yes.
I'll start off with this. I'm not, like I said, I'm not a Democrat or Republican.
No.
No, I did not vote for Obama. I'm going to make this quick. I did vote for Bob Barr and the Libertarian Party because I thought he was as close to something constitutional, down to earth as you can get. I will say this. It's not as much what happened with the White House, although that is a factor. But have you noticed what happened with the Senate and the Congress?
Yeah.
Okay. You do know.
Yes.
Okay. Well, like I said, I was always afraid, which could have happened, because these people are controlled by the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that we'd have a dictatorship, or could be, with Bush, which we could have had. I mean, the 70 rule laws he was passing. But now, you know, what better
hold
person...
Hold it right there. We're going to go to a short break. This is the Right Perspective. All lines are lit, but as soon as a caller hangs up, you could reach us at 718-761-9996.
There's still more from Frank and John when we return in a moment. John from Staten Island and Frank from Queens.
Heart deprivation hotline. What's your situation?
Please, you have to help me. It's my daughter. I think she might hurt herself.
Okay, please slow down, ma'am, and tell me what's going on.
Okay.
Her arms and legs are moving all over the place. They're
right.
Going in all different directions.
Okay.
Please,
okay,
please.
Ma'am, is that music I hear in the background?
What?
Music.
Yeah, I was doing some housework, and I thought it might
right.
be nice to put on the radio.
Ma'am, is that when it all started?
Yes, it was. I turned
okay.
on the radio,
listen,
and then my
ma'am,
daughter heard the
I
music, and
to,
she just lost control. Please.
Need you to focus. Ma'am, I think she might be trying to dance.
What?
She's trying to dance.
That's dancing?
Yes, ma'am.
No. I've seen dancing, and that's not it.
The less art kids get, the more it shows. To learn more about the importance of art education, please visit us at AmericansForTheArts.org. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
I thought she said she was dead. That was her sister, the Wicked Witch of the East. This is the Wicked Witch of the West. She's worse than the other one was.
Who killed my sister? Who killed the Witch of the East? Was it you?
No, it was... I didn't mean to kill anybody.
And that's music when America was America. Something you could dance to and sing to and hum to. Not the junk and the unfortunate, the culture that's going to be pervasive, I'm afraid, for the next 4 years under this this foreign invader that has taken over the presidency. Well, in the meanwhile, we'll have to keep fighting. And we're going to fight by going back to Storm, who we were speaking to before we went to the break. Yes, Storm.
All right, listen, no, I have to call right back because my phone card just said I have under 1 minute remaining. So I'm going to call you back. You take another call. I'll get back on.
All right.
The thing is going to cut any second.
All right, Storm. We'll see you in a few minutes, hopefully. Hi, Carries.
Gentlemen.
Thanks for joining us.
Dozbidanya. Comrade Frank.
Yeah.
Comrade John, welcome to United Socialist States of America. These are new fearless leader, Barack Insane Abominable.
Yeah, it's no joke either.
What the hell happened?
America gave up on itself.
No.
This republic is dead.
Oh, that's it's the fault of the Republicans. They only have themselves to blame. They became a bunch of cowards and middle of the roaders, and they abandoned their principles. And they're still attacking their own. They're going after Sarah Palin instead of supporting a strong, real conservative. Instead of blaming the guy at the head of the ticket, they want to blame her? No, they have it all backwards. And until we get rid of this whole... We thought we had a great bunch of Republicans that were elected in 1994, but when they got to Washington, they decided they liked the perks and the easy job better than their principles.
And, you know, the sheeple who just lined up and voted... They don't even realize that they voted in a naked Marxist. They voted in a guy who, back in 2001, said that the Supreme Court, in the Civil Rights Act of 1960, I believe it was, left out economic justice.
That's right.
And a person who says, we've got to spread the wealth around. Why wasn't it Karl Marx said, from each according to his abilities, to each according to his needs?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I mean, this guy, I'm glad I'm not the only one that noticed the glassy-eyed people. It looked like Nazi Germany.
Yeah, it looked like an old film.
With them staring at their Führer. And Jesse Jackass, standing there crying false tears.
Yeah.
Don't you, what happened to when Jesse Jackass called him a nigger?
That's right.
Yeah. And also said that he was a half-breed.
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't wear his bloodied shirt from the Martin Luther King phony staged event.
The chicken blood.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll be standing in line for toilet paper and vodka pretty soon. This is ridiculous. Yeah. I mean, how can the American people be so stupid? And a lot of it is, I know several young people, some college kids, they're brainwashed by their professors. They've gone in. The young people voted him in because all they saw was a young, charismatic person who was black. And as for the black vote, if he was, shall we say, a black conservative, he would not have gotten the black vote.
Well, you know what gets me, Carrie? Who was more charismatic than Ronald Reagan?
Nobody.
But they hated him, didn't they?
Absolutely, they hated him.
Because he didn't have the right left-wing communist America-hating politics.
Right. And now when they show pictures of Obama and his family, abominable, I should say, they're comparing them to the Kennedys.
Of course.
Oh, yeah, and they're trying to reestablish a Camelot.
Yeah, because the Ministry of Lies is interested only in celebrity as president. That's why they hated Bush. Kennedy was an inept whoremonger who was so inept, it's amazing. But yet they create, because they want glamour. They're not interested in, look, government is dull. The everyday activity business of government is dull. They want glamour, they want glitz, and they want to be attracted to it and think that they're part of it. That's why the filth and vermin in Hollywood poured money into this guy's campaign. And you know, the Echo, not a choice, he said, I'm not taking private money. And then the foreign occupier took private money and outspent them. So much for the foreign occupier.
And if you saw his press conference today, I watched it on CNBC, where they have all the tickers. I watch the stock market every day because I'm an investor. It was interesting. We started out at 268, and as he spoke, it plummeted down to where it hit, I believe, 70-something. And then after he was done, it rebounded, finally closed at 248. And then they had someone later on interviewed from the Dow who was saying, oh, no, it was because of reports from General Motors and the unemployment factor.
They have every excuse every day. 1,000 points. Can you imagine if George Bush was elected and the next day the stock market dropped 1,000 points, how the Democrats would have played that up?
That's right.
We had the biggest single-point post-election drop in history.
Yeah, because Wall Street knows what's coming.
Exactly. And you know something? The way things are, if they want to compare him to the Kennedys, maybe he should have one thing in common with JFK. Lee Harvey Oswald.
Well.
Maybe that's a little extreme.
Yeah.
But, all right, gentlemen, thanks a lot.
All right.
Take care.
Yeah, we don't want to get into that.
No. When you call up, think before you speak.
Yeah, you can.
Let's go to Ronnie and Ardmore. Welcome to the Right Perspective.
Hi, Ronnie.
Hey, guys. Hey, go Phillies. Philly, yo, right?
Yes,
right,
congratulations. This was
you.
A dream come true. They knocked the Mets out. Well, the Mets knocked themselves out again 2 years in a row on the last day, and the Phillies win the World Series. That's wonderful. I'd like to see them repeat this year in the National League. At least win the pennant, but that was great. It was
and Frank, unfortunately, I didn't hardly watch the game or anything because I was busy hustling the streets.
Oh, for
in the losing battle. But I, you know, I'd come home at night and I'd see, you know, my wife was watching it. And I'd come home, I'd say, I got to go to bed. So, but anyway, I coach Little League, and when my team wins a championship, that's when I'm happy.
Yeah, you know, but you, well, that's it.
Yeah, oh no, you know, we're going to move on now. I'm writing things down here. I want to address Don in Pennsylvania.
Yes.
Okay, as far as the poll watchers and poll workers and people knocking on the doors, I'm one of the guys that sit out in front of the polling place and hand you the literature and try to change your mind at the last minute. I was outnumbered 5-1.
Wow.
Okay. I had 4 young people working with me. I'd say the ages of 20 to 25. I'm the oldest. I'm 42. And I'm a young-looking 42, but still, we were outnumbered about they just come in cycles and leave and go and leave, and it was a well-oiled, well-organized machine. They ran.
It was.
But you know what gets me, Ronnie?
And we didn't get paid. I understand these guys are getting paid, and some of them weren't, and stuff like this, but go ahead, John.
But you know, no one knocking on my door is going to have me change my opinion. My opinions have been the same. I knew what was right for this country when I was 10 years old.
John, yeah, but me and you and Frank and Don and there's a lot of people. Like I said, more people are hung up on the Phillies winning
right
then, you know, they'll tell you Cole Hamels' batting average, Ryan Howard's batting average, before they'll tell you who their state senator is.
Yeah, but
is.
You know what? If there's one thing that people understand, their money.
Oh,
how do you vote for a party that constantly says you don't deserve your money, you don't have a right to keep it, and we're taking it from you? That should be a natural human revulsion and rejection of anyone who says that. How do you turn around and vote for a party that constantly says it every election cycle, we're going to raise your or they do it. They may talk about cutting taxes. They suddenly become Republicans when they want to run for national office or even a local office. But they end up raising your taxes every single time. You don't finally get smart enough to say you're not getting any more of my money. In fact, we want to cut back. How do you vote for a party that steals your paycheck?
John, I had graphs and chart laminated. I went out and laminated on a local level. My state representative brings back $200,000 a year to my township. Right. My township pays to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania each year $29 million, $202,000 in income tax alone, not sales tax, fuel, all that stuff. I had the chart out there. My guy at my polling booth, when I'm showing the people these graphs and charts, the guy, the representative that has been in office for 16 years won 3-1. I have no idea. They don't believe me. And I'm a person of the community. I've been out there, and I had the men's own newsletter. I tried to slice his throat with it. It was just a bad Republican year, and I blame that on Mr. McCain, and I blame it on Mr. Bush.
Yeah.
Okay? They're trying to pin the thing on Palin. John, I called about 6 months ago or when the primaries were going on, and I was going down your throat about Ron Paul. I'm a Ron Paul man. I would not be out in the streets for John McCain if it wasn't for Sarah Palin, because I've seen a true conservative.
I blame the whole Republican Party, not just John McCain and George Bush. But, of course, George Bush is the leader of the party. And but you know why I blame the Republican
because
Party?
Because they reach across the aisle. We're going every time we reach across the aisle.
Yeah, but it's not only...
Every time, John, excuse me. Every time we reach across the aisle, we were pulled over across the aisle.
Yeah.
We always compromise and we go to the left. Every damn time.
Yeah. No, I understand, and you're right there, but I'd like to know why not one member of the Republican Party stood up for this president and allowed the Democrats to run their whole campaign on saying it's going to be 8 more years of George Bush. Well, they should have said, well, wait, hold it. You make it sound like this man hasn't done anything for the country. What's the matter with some things that George Bush has done for the last 8 years? He had to pick up the mantle that was left behind, the dirty work of Bill Clinton, who did nothing about 5 terror attacks on this country and ignored the terror, which led to 9/11. 9/11 was caused by Bill Clinton's lack of action in dealing with terrorism. He had to get this country's economy back on track after Bill Clinton left a recession for the last year and a half that was caused by his disastrous economic policies and his suit of Microsoft and his high taxes.
And tobacco
and the pharmaceuticals and the lumber industry. And he also gave us 2 excellent Supreme Court justices.
Yes.
And we had an economic boom in this country 5.5 to 6 years because of the tax cuts, which you Democrats opposed. And you turned out to be wrong about that. And this president gave us a lot of good things in this country, and we're not going to allow you to run your whole campaign on one bumper sticker phrase of it's 8 more years of George Bush. I want some of that 8 years of George Bush. I don't want all the change you're talking about. I want some things to remain the same.
It's hard. It's what have you done lately? John, I'm a shop steward. I'm a union guy. I'm a shop steward. I've sat through... In the last month, 11 layoffs, 8 guys under me. When you have an angry populace like this, and all they do is they're pointing. I'm surprised McCain did as well as he did with the economic system. Then you try to explain, you know, Then you get in too deep when you explain why, you know, the mortgage crisis was caused by the Fannie Mae and Freddie. You know, people's eyes glaze over, and all they know is George Bush is in office, he's a Republican, and guess what? It's a Republican problem. They don't understand the concept that Congress controls the power of all the, you know.
Not even Congress. It's all Democrats who gave out these loans, and Andrew Cuomo, who was the head of HUD, who sued a bank in Dallas and forced them to give out loans to people. He even said, we're going to default. All these Democrats said they ignored the problem with Fannie Mae, and you should have added that it was the Republicans who tried to stop it all. They should have actually gotten credit.
But the problem is the American populace nowadays, that they can tell you Joe Montana's passing average from 20 years ago, but they can't tell you who their elected senators are. That is the issue right there. You know, this economic meltdown coming, you know, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, you just said it, Rahm Emanuel was ahead of Freddie Mae in the year 2000, 2001.
Yeah,
and we're going to trust that the people that were in control of these banking industries now with our healthcare industry.
But you know what?
These people are insane.
I know. Oh, yeah. You're right. And that's why McCain should have kept pounding this home on the campaign trail for 6 months.
Well, I was Ron Paul man, and Cavuto all of a sudden has Ron Paul on almost every day now.
Yeah, I saw him the other day. And at this point, you know, all we can do now is fight the good fight. But it wasn't a total meltdown for conservatism. We did win those. We won those two referendums against gay marriage, and I think
English only. Also three.
And there was affirmative action that was rejected by one state.
And
they got rid of
Biden up there.
And listen to this. This would have never happened if it weren't for conservatives putting the pressure on the authorities. Immigrant jail surge. New York area detainees up 3,000 and rising. Nearly 10,000 illegal immigrants and legal residents with green cards who ran afoul of the law in the New York area were detained by U.S. immigration last year, a startling 43% increase over fiscal year 2007 records show. Now, none of this type of thing would happen unless Republicans and conservatives, they're the ones are responsible for this because they demanded something be done about these illegal invaders. The thing is, Barack Obama should have been one of those that were rounded up.
That's right.
All right, Frank, did you get the pictures I sent you?
Yes.
I was behind the scenes, wasn't I?
Yeah.
I was in there with the Secret Service and driving around with the Governor Ridge. Again, I could tell you firsthand, when I'm in a situation like that and everybody's inside, I'm out back with the vans. You should see the campaign staff that McCain had. They were worn out. They were exhausted. And I'm sitting there. I was actually doing their work, downloading this John McCain's next speech.
Yeah. Well.
John, you didn't see the pictures yet. I emailed them both. Again, he was changing his speech, but it basically, because you said earlier, Frank, how John McCain kept the same speech.
Same thing over and over. Got tired of it. I shut it off. I wasn't listening after a while. And he didn't say the things that he should have said. In fact, he would repeat some of the propaganda of the Democrats saying, we're in the worst economic meltdown in the history of this country. Oh, that's it. Reinforce what the Democrats are saying without blaming them for it.
Because
when you say that, all you're doing is saying, yeah, people are saying, yeah, you're right, and there's a Republican in the White House. You can't just say that without blaming somebody for it, and it's the Democrats who caused it.
I think that's the media, because John, I was in the, if you check the photos I sent you, I was in the background. I was in the van downloading John McCain's next. It was Sunday morning. He was in Strathaven, PA. Sunday afternoon, he's going to Scranton. I was in behind with the Secret Service downloading his speech. I was down. I was the one stapling it together and putting hole punches in it, you know, and putting it in the folder for him to work with. And the girl that was on the campaign staff was making adjustments right there. It was basically a generic speech, but she was doing a lot of changes there.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, it was, you know, I guess, you know, it's like a rock concert, I guess, where you got to look comfortable and feel comfortable and play the same song or something.
You know, when you go through the histrionics at the end of his speech, stand up,
yeah,
stand up, fight, fight, fight. You know, you do the same thing over and over. You know, it's phony. It's not spontaneous. It's practice to read. You know, it's something different.
Sure, Obama does the same thing. I really follow it. As a matter of fact, I know he does because I used to follow his speeches when they played it on the XM radios.
Well,
it was the same, him and Michelle. It was funny how they kept her in the closet the last 3 or 4.
Well, you know, if you're going to say, you can talk about certain things, but say it in a different way. Maybe I'll put a new sound on it or something.
Yeah,
come on.
That's where I hope that Palin comes through here. I think, she, like I said, I'd have been sitting on my couch Tuesday. You know, I would have went to vote and sat down, but I stood out in front of the polling place for 5:30 in the morning. I didn't get home to 12 o'clock at night.
No, you did your part.
Yeah,
we can't blame you. All right, Ronnie, we're going to move on.
House. All right, guys. Now that I can relax a little bit, I'll open up a, as Steve says, the salad. What's he say?
Saddlebag.
Yeah, I get the salad or salad, whatever, and you'll get a check in a week or two.
We really appreciate that.
All right, guys. Good
Ronnie's
night.
A good friend of the show.
Thank
you.
And congratulations to the Phillies. Their manager looks like a manager.
Yeah.
I'm glad you had some good news.
Well, I'm a manager too. I got my little league team. I manage pretty. He manages like I do.
Okay.
Well,
manage the kids.
I want you to get some rest now because you're going to be having a rough 4 years. You're going to have to be ready to go.
We're already gearing up for 2 years now. I'm a couple little. Like I said, I'm involved a little bit more than you guys think.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
Bye.
Appreciate it.
Got it. Bye. Bye.
Well, thank God that Democrat congressman that beat Congressman Ryan, was it in Florida, Frank?
Yeah.
Who was sending those emails and 30 stupid emails to pages and looking for teenage sex. He had to leave office, and the Republican who took his place turned out to be a skunk and a fraud, and he was involved in a sex scandal, and he was defeated by a Republican. So there may be a God after all, folks.
And there is a bill in Oyster Bay. Welcome to the Right Perspective.
Yes, yes. I want you to be aware that whatever was done to Tom Tancredo and to Ron Paul was all, you know, in terms of politics, the way the media treated them as if they don't exist. That's the way the media has treated some people in the music industry. Mm. And that includes Carl Quang. The song you just heard was something that was and it still is being suppressed by the media. Yeah. And if I'd like to send you a full set of his music, and you tell me whether or not this should be suppressed or whether or not it should be played on the airwaves.
Well, they'll try and shut down anything that they don't like, and it was a good song. I'd never heard of this guy, but it sounds pretty good.
Right. But if it were to be Ice-T or Sister Soulja, it would be all over the place.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Oh, look at that stupid Obama song, Stuck on Obama.
I didn't
know that. That was so stupid.
That was idiotic.
You want to know something? I'll tell you what. I'm going to send you a full set of Carl Quang's music, okay?
Okay.
And it will be both the music and the lyrics. And go through it, you know, on your own time.
And if it ever gets any play, they'll say, he's just another redneck.
The hatred that you hear in rap music. But that's all right, because with the foreign occupier in the White House, they're going to guess we're going to be seeing them all the time now.
Foreign illegal occupier.
How do you like the idea that gang members were brought to the inaugural? I forget whether it was the first or the second. I think the first.
Yeah.
Of that Bill Clinton.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the least of his his crimes. You know, we pardoned bomb throwers so that white can win an election in New York. What was worse than that? This guy loved it. He was, Frank had him pinned right. Called him an opportunist.
Yeah.
But the problem is, the opportunity can mean death to innocent Americans. So
Yes.
I don't know who was worse, Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, or Barack Obama is not going to be any winner, that's for sure. But look, the four worst presidents in the history of the United States as far in the 20th century anyway, Woodrow Wilson, Lyndon Johnson, Bill Clinton, and Jimmy Carter, all Democrats.
However, I want you to keep one thing in mind. When you have sort of the wishy-washy Gerald Ford,
Yeah, he was
after you went through, you know, like, for example, he brought in, what do they call that, detente. And Ronald Reagan couldn't stand Gerald Ford. Well, you know, the reason why we had a Ronald Reagan is because after Gerald Ford, we went through 4 years of a disaster. They wanted change. They wanted change because, you know, like the coattails of Nixon, Gerald Ford. Okay, they got their change. We had stagflation, and we had the misery index. We had the hostages. Okay, we went through 4 years of disaster, and then we had Reagan. Well, it may take having Obama in to clean out the rhinos, Republican in name only, and to bring in true conservatives.
And
the important
trouble with our liberal friends is not that they're ignorant, just that they know so much that isn't so.
You have to go in for the patriots. And this goes right back to 1964. Barry Goldwater was being browbeaten by the Rockefellers, and that was within the Republican Party.
Yeah. Well, we certainly, you know, what is it with Republicans that as they get older, they become more liberal? Barry Goldwater turned into a shadow of himself and started to soften up.
Yeah.
Al D'Amato turned into a liberal. He found a girlfriend, so suddenly he became feminist.
Yeah.
You know, you have what's his name in North Carolina? This Republican senator, half the time he goes against the Republicans. Lincoln Chafee.
Yeah.
I'm tired of Republicans that soften up as they get older. You know, if you don't want to be in politics anymore, then just keep your mouth shut and let us keep our philosophy, you know, on the table. Don't make it harder for us by opening up your soft mind that, you know, it's turned into a guava jelly.
What also bothers me,
the Democrats never change. If anything, they get hardened as they get older. Republicans, look at Arnold Schwarzenegger. What a disappointment he turns out to be.
Well, you know, it made me so angry when he started to run in the first place because Tom McClintock was great. He was going to throw out the illegals.
Yeah.
You get it?
Yeah.
And when Arnold ran, it just sucked all of the oxygen out of Tom McClintock. And Tom McClintock would have won if you looked at the statistics.
Yeah.
Another thing.
He made some good statements there when he was standing up for John McCain, you know, when he made fun of Obama's skinny legs and all that. But the best statement he made was this one.
Ohio cannot afford. America cannot afford economic proposals of Senator Obama. I tell you something, I left Europe 4 decades ago because of socialism has killed opportunities there. And many entrepreneurs and business leaders all left and have taken jobs with them. And I tell you, in recent years, Europe has realized its mistakes and begun rolling back some of its spread the wealth policies. And I tell you something, I am so fortunate that I have the chance of coming to the greatest country in the world, the United States of America.
Okay, but then don't raise taxes out there. That was the problem with California in the first place. So.
Yeah, and by the way, I think it's very important to keep in mind that there are two problems in the Republican Party. One is when a conservative goes soft as he gets older. But the other problem is the corporate globalists who don't look conservatives. This is... No, and the thing is, when you look at Tom Tancredo, he's treated like trash by those that want to keep the borders open. And many people in the Republican Party who are angry because they're pushed out, they're disaffected, who are for closing borders, they're angry at having this corporate globalist pushing out the conservatives.
But you know what gets me on that, Bill? These corporations made all of their money thanks to the free market system and capitalism.
Yeah, but you want to know something. They also made their money by moving factories out of the country. I want to replace the income tax with the import tariff. And we paid for the Civil War with no income tax. We had an import tariff. And that's what I want to get back to. So that way, you see, My problem is not corporations existing. I don't have a problem with them existing. What I want is if they're going to sell to Americans, manufacture it here. But in order to do that, we're going to have to replace the income tax with the import tariff. It won't be worth it to find cheap labor overseas.
Yeah, but you know what,
because
Bill?
Because it will be more worth it.
Why do we blame corporations for moving? How about blaming the party that forced them to move out, the one that keeps raising their taxes and want to steal their wealth? Corporations have an obligation to their shareholders and to stay in business and make a profit. If they can't make a profit because they're being taxed to death and regulated to death, well, blame that. Let's start blaming the party that causes them to move out of the country. They have a right to want to survive. Let's blame the Democrats.
I was saying that you must replace the income tax with the import tariff. That's what I'm saying.
Well,
and by the way, when it comes to labor, members of labor unions, they became disaffected when the mob took over. And there's other unions where the commies took over, such as there are many teachers that are sick and tired of the teachers union because it's so communist. Meanwhile, you have other unions, such as the truckers and the longshoremen, which was mob taken over. So what I'm trying to say here is we need to replace the income tax with an import. What an import tariff does is it says find cheap labor overseas, and then you pay a tariff in. You'll actually do better paying people decently here.
Right, let's have a flat tax or, you know, a consumption tax.
My problem with the consumption tax is it treats American products the same as foreign products. And Thomas Jefferson got it right. And so Theodore Roosevelt to have import tariffs.
Yeah.
He paid for the Civil War with that.
Yeah, well, until they decided it wasn't enough and started to tax your income. And that should have been rescinded after the war. And that's the problem with a lot of these taxes that are imposed on us. It's so hard to get rid of them because, you know, they take your money and then they spend it on to buy people's votes by offering more of the treasury and with these programs that are hard to rescind after what they're put in place.
Yes, the telecommunications tax. What do you think it is? Every single time you pay a phone bill, there's
yeah.
a telecommunications.
You thank
tax.
Al Gore for that.
That
was the internet tax.
Right. Al Gore added to it, but I'll tell you how it was originally put there.
All right, hurry
to
up because we have to get
this Spanish American
calls.
War. We were in the Spanish American War for about 6 weeks.
Yeah, and we got nothing but problems out of that too when we got to Puerto Rico. So,
yeah.
All right, Bill, we're going to move along.
Good hearing from you.
Yeah. Sure.
And remember, we want our country back.
And speaking of that, Frank, you know, I work in a job, folks, where I have to sign people in the morning. And I wrote down some of these names I have to deal with when they come to work in the morning. Get a load of this. You wonder, it's not just Obama who's a foreigner. This whole country is turning into, and these are the type of people who will vote for him. Now, get these names. These are just the first names of people that I have to sign in. I wrote some of them down. Quadasia, okay? Karima, Unruly, Laquana. That's just four I wrote down. There's a lot more. All right? The Africanization of America has begun.
Yeah.
These are names that are given to people who are even born in the United States because their parents are anti-American and bigots. They can't give a traditional name, no.
No.
And, I noticed something, that when a minority has a normal-sounding name, Larry,
yeah.
Bill, James, Edward, whatever it is, they speak much better, they're more civilized, they don't have an attitude, and they sound educated. All these parents that give their kids these anti-American, anti-United States,
anti-Western.
European. That's it. They're doing it deliberately
to
get away from the American way of life. They want to keep themselves separate. But one thing's for sure, though, they're not leaving this country. They're not going to from where these names, wherever they think these names come from. They're not going to Africa, folks.
No.
No, they're going to stay here because they know that this is the world's grab bag, and now with a black president, they're going to get everything they want, so they think. Mm-hmm. But I got a feeling they're going to be disappointed Because, you know, a lot of these people actually think that they're going to pay, Obama is going to pay for their health care, and they're going to pay for their car payments and everything else. You know, it's paradise now. Wait till they see what they're in for.
He's taking them to a land of milk and honey. And let's go to Cheryl in New Jersey, and then Stephen, the great Stephen Manhattan. Yes, Cheryl.
Yes, hello, Frank. Hello, John. This is your new president. I was the official nominee from the right perspective to be president, and I'm declaring victory. And the first thing we're putting on the agenda is that this party is not a forgiving party. We are not forgiving anybody for any of the wrongs that they do. I'm sick and tired of be compassionate, a kind of gentler country. Oh, no, forget about it. You did something wrong, you get punished for it. You're not forgiven. Forget about it. Being that way has led to all of this. Oh, be forgiving. Here you had Ronnie from Ardmore on, and all the problems that they have down there in Pennsylvania with Barry. He changed his name from Barry to Barack. And John is saying the name that you have to deal with. His name was Barry. What's wrong with the name Barry? Down there in Pennsylvania, all of the people were insulted. When Barry was out in San Francisco, he said that, you know, they asked him about these people in Pennsylvania, and he says they're bitter and they cling to their guns and their religion. Well, I want to know, what's so bad about clinging to your religion? What's so bad about that? And people who uphold the Second Amendment, that they have the right to bear arms, what's wrong with that? And he declares that they're bitter. He's the one who is bitter. He thinks he's a black American, and he goes around talking about slavery. His father wasn't a slave in America. His father came from Kenya, from Africa. He came here on a scholarship. He was a well-educated guy. He graduated at the top of the class over there. He studied econometrics, which is another level of economics. And he went back to Kenya, and he wanted to tax all of the Kenyans 100% of their income. I mean, a school that teaches you an idea like that, and that was Harvard, a school teaches you tax 100% of the income. What type of school is that? This is what he learned. He didn't experience any which way slavery in America. And I have news for you. As your winning candidate, as your winning president, I'm sick and tired of tuning in to the television, which is really prejudicial media. The television has turned into prejudicial media. It's not mainstream. They came up with 1,000,001 black experts who came on the television set, and they're talking about their ancestors who were slaves and all of the misery and suffering that they have encountered in life. Yes, they have encountered misery and suffering, but I got news for each and every one of them. So has everybody else. You talk to people, you talk to white people, you talk to Italian descent, Irish, you talk to German descent, Czechoslovakian descent, you talk to a whole bunch of people, and you'll find out people have experienced misery and suffering. They do not have a monopoly on black misery and black suffering. It happens to be a universal experience here in America. They always talk about risk and reward.
Look around. We see the animals.
See a lot of people with the reward. Bill Gates, he's big time with reward. But what about the people who took the risk and lost? You're talking about also, your caller before, that he's talking about an import tax, that whatever is imported should be taxed. What about the unions who sent these jobs out of America? They had the American workers go on strike. Oh, go on strike, and then we'll get you higher pay. These union leaders have also done a disfavor to the capitalistic system. If the job is with certain skills and certain education levels and certain technology, that skill, that technology can be taught to somebody outside of the country, so that what the union has done here in America is that the union has lost the job for that union worker, and that job has gone overseas. Tell me why the teachers' union, they think that there's only teachers here in America, that they have to go and wear buttons that said Obama on it. Well, the kids in the class know that they have to answer the questions in such a way to gain favor from the teacher so the teacher won't flunk them. That's what that button is saying to the class. It's not to have freedom of speech for the teacher, that the teacher is saying who the teacher is in favor of. It's demanding from the kid that this is the way you answer the question when the teacher asks you the question. I'm sick and tired of all of that. There'll be a third party forming if the Republicans do not get stronger. The Republicans must get stronger, and they must become much more powerful and outspoken. Otherwise, there will be a third party forming, and it will be Ronald Reagan Republicans who will form it.
And you will head that party.
Well, thank you very much, John. Thank you.
We'll call it the Cheryl of New
wonderful.
Jersey party. And,
yes.
And you know, I have no sympathy for the auto industry. They caused their own problems. I saw this coming 30 years ago with their constant demands for more and more benefits and working less and less hours and wanting more and more. They caused, I knew this was going to happen. When I bought a new car 30 years ago, I said, you know, look what's going on here with these guys, the way that they work and how everything is based on their break time, and there's no flexibility. You know, everything is by union rules, and it hurt the business, and they were very discourteous to customers, or they'd make them wait because the union says, I got my 15-minute break, and that's it. They wouldn't even give you change through the window if they were still on their break to send you on your way. I knew this was coming. I could see it coming. Look how much, you know what their medical benefits are in these unions? It has bankrupted the auto industry.
It surely
and they
has.
They never thought ahead that someday things might not be as good as they are now and that they would pay a price. They didn't give a damn. They wanted what they wanted when they wanted it, and they never cared about what was going to happen in the future. Never looked ahead.
That is so true, John. It is the truth, and this is why the German car manufacturers, and especially the Japanese, they saw it, And they recognize that even with manufacturing cars overseas, and now, of course, they assemble them here, they saw this as opportunity for them. They capitalized on it, and the number of imported cars, the number of Japanese cars is tremendous. And Japan is four little islands. They don't have the population that we have, but they created an industry not for their home consumption, but for the American market. And they took advantage of what our unions were looking to do in destroying the American economy and the American job. And what the unions have done to America is criminal. And they are so totally out of the picture. They were not even mentioned in this campaign. And this is a disservice to the American people. I do want to say to Ronnie from Ardmore, because he was talking about Charlie Manuel, the manager for the Philadelphia Phillies. Mm. Ronnie, go on the website, The Right Perspective. Take a look at Cheryl's cutting comments. I wrote about Charlie Manuel in Peanuts and Cracker Jack. Take a look and see for yourself. Well, gentlemen, I've taken up enough of your time, and I gladly accept the presidency from the party, The Right Perspective. Onward, men. We're going to get back our country.
Well, all right.
Well, here we go.
Well, we're gonna need your feistiness and your brilliance.
And stay
Thank
away
from you, John.
Stay,
Thank you.
Okay, and stay away from Michael Schmaconish.
I will.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right.
Let's go to Bill in Chappaqua and then Steve in Manhattan. There's a line open at 718-761-9996 if you'd like to get in. And let's say good evening, Mr. President.
What are you looking for?
Mr. President, are you there, sir?
What happened to Bill? Bill from Chappaqua.
Did he fall asleep?
I don't know, unless Hillary knocked him out. What happened? Before? I don't even hear any snoring.
I don't hear any sound.
Well, all maybe right. He's playing coy.
All right.
Let's try giving us a call back. In the meanwhile, we'll...
Are you there? Maybe his phone...
You know what? Put him on hold and...
Okay.
I'll try and get him on the phone.
All right. Let's go to Steve in Manhattan. Welcome to The Right Perspective, Steve.
Bill is probably busy with Monica. And, folks, get ready for the next round of phony conservatives. And when they push this round on top of you, that should do it. Should run out the clock, and then conservatism will be dead, and you'll never be able to stop people like Obama from running for president again. They'll control everything. They'll control the big electoral states in California. Think about that. 55 automatic electoral votes goes to the Democratic candidate every 4 years, and the 31 from New York goes to the Democratic candidate automatically. That's almost 90 electoral votes, folks, that get flushed down the toilet bowl automatically. Hmm. And when the we were saying it all along, but when it came out that 5 million mortgages went to illegal aliens, and we found out over the last weekend that old Bam Bam's aunt was living up in Boston. She's an illegal alien on welfare. I mean, Tancredo was the candidate. Like I said, for 3-4 years, you would have had fun the last 2-3 weeks. Instead, you had your fingernails on the edge of the windowsill ready to fall off with a phony conservative who called you guys and everyone racist last year.
Yeah.
Because you were against the amnesty bill for the invaders. Of course we were against it, because we were against having our country invaded. And all through the campaign, people going, why doesn't he say this? Why doesn't... or McPsycho say that. Well, you know why he doesn't say it? Because he's a phony conservative. That's why he is.
Yeah.
I'll never forget in the 96 primary when Buchanan won, he turned on Buchanan, so that Phil Graham, that freak.
Yeah.
they all turned on him. It goes to show you the Republican Party is laced with phony conservatives inside it, and people want to be fooled. If you're going to keep being fooled, then it's over. Then it truly is over, because when you deal with communists and socialists, that is their modus operandi, to infiltrate. That's what they do. You don't think about doing that because you're up front. You speak what your mind is. You don't have to do it because you know what you believe in and you know you're right on the money. But they know their issues. They can never come out and say what they really want. I mean, is it really a secret what's going to happen? You're going to have more taxes and higher taxes coming up, more race quotas coming, more of a third world invasion of America taking place. And when this takes hold, you will never be able to reverse it, and you're going to lose every damn election. I want to coin the phrase on your show. It'll be the first show I say it on. People might hear it later on. But the Granite State, I'm renaming it the Cupcake State. And I'll tell you why. It's the Cupcake State because, first of all, it's the first primary. It's not the first election. It's the Iowa caucuses or before. But the New Hampshire primary, New Hampshire now is a state that's loaded with liberal Republicans, liberal independents, liberal Democrats. And they get our first primary. Meanwhile, the independents are also allowed to vote in the primary. So they're picking, basically, they create the snowball effect, and that's where McPsycho won up in New Hampshire. When he won that night, I called the Bob Grant Show. I said, listen, the voters up in New Hampshire are a bunch of psychos. And then McCain went down to South Carolina, remember, right after that, and he won just barely. And then he won in Florida, where the exit polls said that McPsycho would be the best candidate, Republican candidate, to fight illegal immigration. When I heard that, I said, you're going to be in for a long horror show here. And, of course, I never really supported him, but I was hoping that he would win or the voter turnout would be there, because I knew the disaster would happen. If you had people thinking 3 weeks before the election he was going to lose, you were going to get wiped out in the Senate and the House of Representatives. Yeah. Look what happened to poor – well, first of all, let me give you the good news. The guy down in Florida who won, his name is Tom Rooney, and also the better part of the whole thing is – he's an immigration reform warrior. He's on your side on that, folks, just to let you know. McClintock, who was also running against the, I call it the liberal Republican wing of the Kennedy family. Schwarzenegger was a phony Republican, too. I said it in the beginning. McClintock won his congressional seat. And Duncan Hunt, his son, who's also an Iraq veteran, the kid held on to his father's seat. And those guys are all warriors.
And McConnell. McConnell won, too, thank God.
Yeah, well, he won, but also he should have lost because he was for the invasion amnesty, too. Yeah. It was only the conservative voters of Kentucky.
Yeah, but we need all the Republican seats we can get right now.
I fully understand that. I'm just saying they made him switch his vote on that. That's all I'm saying on that. He's an individual who does not represent his state. Kentucky is a very conservative state, and he really is. He's a mismatch for that state, unfortunately. So the voters and the people of Kentucky have to stay on top of him if they try to push the invader thing again. Because to them, amnesty vote means nothing. The country's being flooded anyway, no matter what they win. You know, everything old Bam Bam wants is already in place. Big, giant government, the country being inflated, being invaded, the abortion on demand. All these things are all happening right now. Race quotas galore. You have all these corporate business guys all falling in line with the race quotas. And that's what you have. And you know, we bring up the auto workers union. But first of all, they've been creamed the last 30 years. Their ranks have dwindled down, and I don't blame them for what happened to the big three. The fact is, and the truth is, what happened to those car companies is really simple. 1907, we used to have cheap gas in this country. You can buy your nice 455 cube engine car and drive around for 20 cents a gallon, and you can afford it even if you were 20 years old.
That's what I had, a 455 four-barrel.
There you go, and you could afford it. What happened after the 73 oil embargo, gas prices went through the roof, GM, the big three, were all still banging out big cars when the American people wanted smaller cars, folks. That's what happened, and that's the truth.
Yeah, but
that was the crack into the market, John.
Yeah, but Steve, they made smaller cars. They just didn't make good ones.
Well, we know that
the 70s had a lot. There was a lot of lousy cars in the 1970s. But look, the gas mileage has gone up tremendously in these cars. Most cars get anywhere. Even the SUVs get anywhere from 18 to 25 miles a gallon, and the other ones are getting 23, 32 miles a gallon. Gas mileage has improved tremendously in automobiles. I don't think that's the problem.
I think the problem was the unions.
The unions wanted more and more.
They were doing it again. In 79, you had another oil embargo. It really was an embargo. It was just they stopped delivering the gas to drive the price up. The big three, the big automakers were making big cars, and that's what happened. They lost their market to the smaller cars. In 1950, 1960, you rarely ever saw a foreign car. Then you saw the little Volkswagens coming in, the little Toyota Corollas coming in. All the little cars started coming in, and that's how they cracked the share of the big three, and that's the beginning of it. And also what happened, well, you'll never hear on AM radio because they're all afraid to talk about race quotas. I remember the CEO of Ford saying, well, in management, we're looking for diversity. We're going to be using affirmative action to hire. Well, when you hire a bunch of morons, that's what happens. You still, when the gas prices go up, you're still banging out big cars. The SUVs, they were still, that's why there's thousands of those cars, John, unsold. People couldn't afford them. People who owned them, I know guys who own those cars.
Yeah,
they're sitting
but,
in the, John, they're sitting in the driveway.
Yeah, no.
They couldn't afford the gas.
Steve, yeah. But Americans don't like small cars. Americans like, they want their big, comfortable cars, and they have a right to them. And really,
they couldn't afford them, John.
Wait a minute. That's the next point. They couldn't afford them because of the outrageous demands of these union thugs who demanded more and more for their workers and higher health benefits and everything else. And so they had to raise the prices of these cars to pay for all their benefits. So
well,
what's wrong?
What's wrong with a guy getting good benefits?
Right. Limbaugh
what's
makes
wrong
money.
With that?
Talking about good benefits. I'm talking about outrageous benefits.
Yeah, and then they gave back. They gave back plenty of benefits.
Plus, you're not going to win voters blaming the guys who are just looking to make a decent salary. That's all they were making.
People
they weren't making
benefits
more than anybody else and taking breaks. Every place I go, and when I'm in Lower Manhattan, I see all the office workers come down. They take 50 cigarette breaks a day. Not you, workers. That's nonsense. John, I'm telling you, it's a bad argument, and you lose potential voters by doing that. It's
not
big,
a bad argument.
Unions
have destroyed a lot of companies in this country. It's not just the auto industry.
No, you hit it before when you said higher taxes and higher regulations drove a lot of these business offshore. It wasn't the unions. They were making profits. General Motors paid a dividend every – if they weren't making any money, how'd they pay a dividend for 50 straight years, John? With the unions? I thought the unions were bad. They wouldn't be making any money, right?
Yeah, but that's all ended
now. It's when they lost their market share. I'm telling you, when gas prices go up and you're banging out big cars – you could say, John, there's a lot of things I like, but if I can't afford it, I don't own it.
Well, they cut back on a lot of these big cars. They just started to come back maybe a couple of years ago when the price of gas started to go down again.
Well, that's the cycle you're in because when gas prices go down, and you could look at the record in 73 and 79 after those embargoes, the prices would come down only because why? Because the American people cut back, and it would cause them to have a glut of gasoline, and they had to cut their prices. Same thing now over the summer. That's why I said that was like a high school drill, the drill, baby, drill. Well, where was that in the last 2-3 weeks of the campaign? These guys are just reacting to nothing.
No, look, I still blame the unions for a lot of stuff. Look at this teachers union in New York. Let me finish my point. They have a lot of these teachers who can't get their certification, but the union won't get rid of them. They put them on this standby or whatever, and they give them, like, temporary jobs. They can't pass the test to become a real teacher. But they keep them on the payroll because they want numbers in their union membership because it means political power. Instead of getting rid of the people who are unqualified, they're still getting their benefits and their pay from the city. And then the city has to raise your taxes to make up for this instead of getting rid of people that are unqualified.
All right.
And that's going on all over the country with unions. Unions don't give a damn about what it's costing the American taxpayer. No, they want their membership because more membership in unions means more political power.
What about the $700 billion for Wall Street? What those guys did down there? They're not the fault either?
$700 billion. Yeah, but you're talking about another problem that was caused by liberalism.
12%
and political correctness.
Unions are 12% of the workforce. You are correct if you want to signal out certain unions who are ridiculous, like we know the teachers union is, then you're 100% correct. We know that. But to lump them all together is wrong. There's a lot of blue-collar union guys who vote Republican, like Ronnie from Pennsylvania.
Look at Ford. Ford had the best car in the world. They had the Taurus. Did Ford keep developing the Taurus?
They stopped the development, right?
They stopped. No, Ford's big thing was, this year we've got oval windows. And then when it was too late, then Ford said, well, we're not going to go for the superficial. We're going to develop the it was too late because Ford was making too much money off of SUVs. So they allowed the Taurus to die, and the U.S. car market, that share was lost. That was a decision, had nothing to do with the unions, had to do with the management of Ford.
The affirmative action management, exactly, Frank. And also, same thing, General Motors had the electric car in the early 90s. They stopped it. They stopped production because morons run the company. That's it. John, you are right. Certain unions are, we know, are flakes out there.
Yeah, but the SUVs are being sold overseas. They're being bought.
Yeah, but John, they're losing. You ever have a company that stays in business losing $3 billion a year?
Yeah, but I mean, why are they losing?
You know why they're losing? Not the union. What they're losing on is GM credit. GM set up a credit where they were lending out money. That's where they lost their money.
And how?
GM is doing very good overseas with their cars. Buicks are, I think, the most popular car in China. It was the GM loans that they were making.
Actually, GM and Ford and Chrysler, you are right, Frank. They are profitable in Europe and in Asia. It's a good point to make that they are making money in those markets. They're profitable. But you gotta hit on what's taking place. They're putting out these big cars when American people can't afford them and can't afford the gas prices. That's what's taking place. And you can't argue anything else. And plus, the affirmative action race quota management that's been instilled by General Motors and Ford and Chrysler also affects productivity. When you have morons judging people and making managerial decisions who don't belong there, of course it's going to hurt your company. If that's not brought up, then that is a problem. And like Frank brought up, they have the finance division. Well, how many loans did they give out to people who shouldn't have gotten them, right?
Yeah.
Who defaulted on them? You're not going to hear Limbaugh talk about that.
No.
Like you're not going to hear him talk about the $5 million.
Well, no, I've heard him talk about that.
He
came right out and said it.
But then he doesn't harp on it. He just brings it
up.
Well,
no, I listen every day, and he's mentioned it four or five times already, maybe more.
He
keeps saying this is a Democrat scandal, and he's right.
No,
they gave
he's
out
lying,
all the...
John. George Bush, and look this up, John. 2003 in December, George Bush signed the American Dream Down Payment Act, which enabled people who had no down payments to buy houses without a down payment. That was George Bush.
Yeah, but he also warned.
If you don't want to give him part of the blame, that's why you can never fix the problem, because you don't want to blame the people who are also problems. And also, we know damn well Bush and McCain in the campaign never came out, never accused the people at Fannie Mae, those guys like Raines and Johnson. They didn't want to bring them up because they were afraid to bring them up because they were black, just like they were afraid to bring up Jeremiah Wright because he's black. You'll hear Hannity always bring up Jeremiah Wright, but you'll never hear Hannity call Jeremiah Wright a racist. You never hear him say
that. No,
that's
not true. I always hear him say it.
No, he goes, he's anti-American.
No, that's not true. I listen every day, and I've heard him call Jeremiah Wright racist.
Well, you didn't hear McCain.
And George Bush may have signed that bill, but he also came out with a lot of the warning signs, and so did John McCain. There is no way that anyone can blame this problem with Fannie Mae and the mortgages on Republicans.
You don't think?
No. It was all Republicans who raised the red flags and warned against it. It was all Democrats who said, no, there is no problem. I don't want to hear anybody say this is a Republican problem. This was a Democrat scandal, and the economy has collapsed, or it was on the verge of collapse, because of Democrats and political correctness and pandering to minorities.
Well, Bush, that's what Bush was doing with that legislation.
No, yeah, but he came out with a warning. And so did John McCain. Yeah, but Democrats never came out with any warning. They excused it constantly.
And during the campaign, Bush didn't defend himself with it when they were blaming him for it.
Well, we've been harping on that all along. And John McCain, by the way, did mention names once, but he only did it once.
The guy in the audience.
Yeah, well, that was the problem. He should have constantly harped on it over and over and over instead of that idiotic, stupid speech where he kept talking about the collapse on Wall Street and greed of corporations and everything else and doing it, saying everything but what he should have said. He should have been the Democrats don't hesitate to constantly bash Republicans. The Republicans always, never, ever say the Democrats are at fault, and you're losing money in your pockets, folks, because of Democrat scandal. This is the current condition of the economy is because of Democrats. He should have gone after it directly and kept saying it over and over and over again.
Well, when Bush came in 2001, In the 2000 campaign, he never campaigned. He never mentioned that he wanted to give amnesty to the invaders. That was the first thing on the agenda when he got in, and so was the getting home ownership for minorities in 2000. Those were the two big things he was pushing in 2001.
Yeah, but he never said let's give people loans that they can't pay off.
He signed the Dream Down Payment Act, John.
Yeah, but it didn't mean that he wanted people to get loans.
You don't need a down payment. So if you don't have a down payment, it's like a welfare program. That's all it is. And he signed it. He let millions of illegals into the country under his 8 years. So, you could blame the Democrats because they were in charge of Fannie Mae, and they could have went after them on that, absolutely. But they were afraid to because they didn't want to go after that guy Raines and Johnson. Raines made $80 million. When they saw that their nonsense that they had with these minorities getting these home mortgages was ready to blow up in their faces, they didn't go after the guys who were minding the store, and that was Raines and Johnson and Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. They didn't want to go after them because they were black. They could have easily went after Jeremiah Wright. They could have went after the illegals getting all the home mortgages. But they're the ones who are pushing where the illegal aliens can go into the banks with their Mexican ID and get a loan. These guys are people. You know how many of them must have lied and got loans and then took out second mortgages and stole the money and just took the money and ran off? They robbed us blind. But no one wanted to address that issue during the campaign, and they will never be addressed as long as Republican voters keep voting in phony conservatives. And you're going to get another round of phony conservatives that can be pushed on you, and then it's going to be over. You can't win no more. You can't. You're going to lose. And they're going to tell you, the same phonies on AM radio are going to tell you got to accept it. And I'm glad, because last week we spoke about Monica Creepy Crawley, and the next day the story broke about the illegal alien aunt up in Boston. You know what Creepy Crawley said? She goes, oh, just come here legally and we'll help you. Told you she was a phony. And a few weeks ago, I heard Ted Nugent, the guy, I shoot Bullwinkle in my backyard and I gut him out with my hands. You know what he was saying on, I believe it was the Dennis Miller show? He said, I don't sing like a cracker. I sing like a black man. You really think that guy is on your side? He is another phony. He just uses a few catchphrases that bring people in. These are phonies. They give themselves away when they speak like that. You wouldn't speak that way, right? Real conservatives wouldn't speak that way.
Well, I don't know exactly what he meant by that.
Because he's trying to say, like, he's, you don't seem like a white guy. He sounds like a black guy when he said, what kind of speak? What kind of a crack? Did you get the point? He was calling the white guy a cracker. That's a derogatory term used against Southern white people.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but
he's a fraud.
But the thing is, now, why is he a fraud if he says one thing that you think is suspicious? But,
because I've heard him speak before.
But you ignore all the other.
I ignore things. I bring up everything.
No, I'm talking about him. No, I'm talking about him. He said.
That's how he lures you into the spider web, thinking he's okay.
But why would he say something that would undo all of that all of a sudden? He may not have even realized, you know, how that sounded when he said it.
He's playing up to a certain segment of the population by doing that. And I'm telling you, a person like that, in the long run, will never really truly be on your side. They give themselves away. There's a lot of phony conservatives out there, and they're going to push another fight. You don't hear them talking about deportations. You really, the country, any of these people, you just hear them say, border security.
No, you're talking about the rock and roll singer. What's his name?
Ted Nugent.
Oh.
Right. I'm saying, when you hear a person make a statement like that, they're phonies. That's all I'm telling you. A real true conservative wouldn't come out, or a real true patriotic American wouldn't make those kind of statements. And that's how they get on the air. They sound good, but they're not on your side. And all I'm saying is, if another round of phony conservatives are pushed by talk radio and by the Republican establishment, and if it's accepted by the vote,
Why are they saying so many other – they say a lot more conservative things than they do with that one
thing.
But
that's how they lure you in, and then nothing happens. Don't you understand? Then they get elected, and they don't do nothing about illegal immigration. They do nothing about the race quota situation.
Well, you're very cynical.
Affirmative action. They do absolutely nothing about the government expanding and getting gigantic and bigger and bigger. There's no way they can come out and make liberal points and win you over. They have to saturate you with these catchphrases, and that's how they get you in. But in the end, you'll find out they're really not on your side. You know, look at John McCain. He's not on your side. and he was the Republican nominee, and conservatives were forced to go in there and vote for this guy. But is that what you want?
Well, he was on our side a lot more than this guy, but...
Yeah, but no Democratic candidate would ever get nominated if he ever was with the Republic. If he was with the conservatives,
yeah, but
20% of the time he would never get nominated.
Yeah,
imagine,
you know,
50% of the
look,
time.
Look, you don't like anybody.
I don't. What about the, I named Tom Tancredo. What would you rather have, him or McCain as the nominee?
Well, I'd like to have Tom Tancredo.
But you're not going to get him.
But I'm being realistic.
The pollsters never put his name in the pollsters. In the polls, and the phonies on AM radio will always say, what do they always say? Oh, he can't win.
Well,
he can't
he
win.
He seems to be.
He would have won Tuesday, I guarantee it.
He seems to be a one, you know, Johnny One Note, though.
Yeah, that's another lie that's put out by AM radio. He voted for tax cuts every time they came in front of him.
But he doesn't talk about anything
yes,
else.
He does. Not, and then you see, then you, John, you're falling for that. You fell for the trap then. He talks
know,
about
right?
everything. He's the author of the flat tax in Congress. So don't say he doesn't talk about it, because he's one of the co-authors of the flat tax in the House of Representatives. Plenty of issues. They just do that to lie and marginalize him, because he will actually do some, and they laugh at you when you get a McCain as your candidate.
Well, one thing they should not allow, they should stop immediately, is this crossover voting during the primaries. In fact, the whole primary system should cease. They should pick candidates the way they used to at the convention.
Yeah, but nope. actually, John, the media is picking the candidates. You don't realize that the media gives all the attention to the candidates who they know who really aren't good on the Republican side, and they like McCain and all these. They give them all the publicity. The pollsters won't mention a Buchanan or a Tancredo in the polls, because they know these guys, if they really got launched nationally, they would catch on. That's why you get stuck with a bunch of numbskulls, and people blame the candidate. I don't blame the candidate. I know what McCain is. I know, and I just blame the people who don't pay attention. The pollsters don't mention the good candidates in the polls early on, and then the media itself doesn't give them attention. You see saturation of 2 years of old Bam Bam everywhere you went, in stores, magazines. He's on the cover of every magazine. He's on every TV. Movie stars are pushing him. People wouldn't know who the hell Tancredo was. They wouldn't even know who Buchanan was. Yeah. They get no media. So if the guys on AM, conservatives, don't push them, then you're never going to get them. Then, then you're going to
get
stopped.
You see them so much is because these primaries go on for so long that they're able to be in the news for that long, and you see them on all these magazines for that long. If the process just came down to the convention the way it used to, where the actual delegates picked them like they used to, and you didn't know who the candidate was going to be until almost 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning sometime. That's the way they should go back to doing it. No, I'm tired of this year-long, year-and-a-half-long process.
But, John, who would the Republican establishment pick? They wouldn't pick a guy who was against the illegal immigration.
Well, I'm not talking about who they were. I'm talking about the process. I want to get rid of this idiotic, these long drawn out process of voting and primaries.
Well, that would be difficult if you have a primary, like you said, and a general election. And you got to remember, last year, for the whole year, there was no primary going on. Those Hillary and Bam Bam and even Giuliani, even McCain,
you know,
got all the attention in the media.
You know,
right?
Like the only reason they're already start talking about 2012 already is because they're getting ready to rev up for the primaries already. The primary should be ended. No primaries. And you know what else should be ended? No polls. No polls until the last 2 or 3 days. I don't want to hear polls all year long, because they influence people too. Because there's a lot of airheads out there that say, oh, I don't want to vote for a loser. I don't want to vote for the guy that looks like he's going to lose. And they automatically vote for the guy they think is going to win. These polls influence a lot of votes.
Right.
They should not be allowed to have all of these polls, and no exit polls either.
Or they don't even vote because they think their guy's going to lose. But meanwhile, you have senatorial and congressional races that are in the balance, and those guys are going to lose too. Unfortunately, the truth is, if you really had a Republican, a conservative candidate who ran on the issues, they would win overwhelmingly. Even they just brainwashed. The same thing happened in 92. This reminds me of a replay in 92. They kept talking about the economy. They kept talking about a middle-class tax cut. And then all of a sudden – we found out, and we knew all along the economy wasn't that bad, and there was no tax cut by the Democrat. And the same nonsense is going to happen.
Not only was there not a tax cut, it was a massive tax increase. All right, Steve, we're going
to
move along.
One more thing.
Yeah.
I would like to know, it was like the middle of September, let's say about September 15th, where you had the 1,000-point drop in the market. I want to know who initiated those sell orders. Were it foreign investors who had some vested interest in who would win the election? That would be interesting for someone to find out, besides all the illegal contributions.
But then a couple of days later, it went up 1,000 points. So,
right, it went up
and
down because the traders can go in and buy low and take the chance, but the average guy couldn't do like that. But the point I'm making is, who initiated those sell orders?
Well, yeah, but if the people who initiated know the traders are going to move in and it's just going to go back up again, why would they bother even, trying to manipulate it?
No, but then you'd cause a panic. You can drop the market.
Yeah, but the panic ends 2 days later when it goes up 1,000.
Yeah, but
again.
John, it played out that way for a good month, and the media jumped on that, saying, "See, look at the way it is and everything." But all I'm saying is, it's interesting to see if those were foreign investors or anybody who was really interested in the outcome of this election who put it. I could be wrong, or I could be right in saying who put those initial sell orders in, just to see.
We should close down the markets for the entire election process.
How about we just get a real conservative candidate? And let me tell you,
you wouldn't have to
worry about anything, John, because the issues would be on your side.
All right. Too bad we couldn't clone Ronald Reagan. So.
All right. Steve, you will always be welcome on The Right Perspective.
And everyone listening should break open the saddlebag.
All right, take care, Steve.
All right.
Let's go back to Bill. Are you there, Bill?
And John will be with you shortly.
All right. What happened there? Were you busy with Monica?
I guess it was. I kind of passed out here for some reason, but I'm back. I'm back up there, and by golly, I must admit that old BO, as I call him, ran an effective campaign, and as the old slickster. As old Slick Willie, I have to tip my hat to him because he's at least 8 times slicker than I am.
Oh, yeah, he out-slicked you and Hillary. I mean...
I'm sure that you're going to be working on all your other buddies from your administration to getting jobs. So what are you working on?
I'm working on trying to get some of that there $460 million that he amassed for his big old campaign there. Now that is a lot of money. I mean, once he gets around to paying off those people that worked for him there, he probably saw them in the news there waiting outside the headquarters there, wondering where their check was now. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I thought that if you had people working for you, they did so not because you were putting money in their pocket, more or less, but that they believed in you. So this kind of surprised me as a humble, simple hillbilly kid from the hills of Arkansas.
Not so humble, though.
Yeah, because I got $30 million to play with.
And you love that word, I.
Somebody should.
No. So, what do you? Are you pushing to get a job for yourself, or you want Hillary to get a job to keep Obama off your back? To keep the Clintons off Obama's back.
Well, he could at least, appoint her ambassador to some country overseas, and that would get her out of the house for a while.
Maybe you can send Michelle over to clean your house. But she's got to get some better clothes, though. Maybe she should borrow some of Sarah Palin's clothes now that she doesn't need them. That dress she wore was a horror show. On the night of the victory. That black and red, I don't know what it was.
Well, black and red is the colors of the Sandinistas.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised. All she was missing was a little bit of green. And we would have had, the revolutionary Marxist flag of Africa.
Well, she definitely needs a fashion consultant there. Maybe, I don't know what they could do with that face. I don't know. Shove it in some cookie dough and make gorilla cookies.
Yes, from Sanford and Son.
I think Elizabeth, she's right. If they were making a remake of Sanford and Son, she could play Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Or not
right.
Elizabeth, but Esther.
Yeah,
Esther,
yeah.
That's
what
the one.
You say?
Glee.
Yeah. Fred Sanford, you should be ashamed of yourself. I have some of them on the videotape. I have a lot of those shows.
Oh, it should upgrade to DVDs there. I hear they're pretty sharp.
And so, are you going to, what's your plans for the next couple of days now? Are you just going to sit by and watch your nemesis take over your old stomping grounds at the White House, or...
Well, we've got our people pre-positioned already. As you know, they got Rahm Emanuel there as their chief of staff, running the White House for them. I think they're also going to get.
Yes.
I don't know if they're going to tap Janet Reno for Supreme Court and possibly that Jamie Gorelick there to be Attorney General.
Well,
that's
one time enough around is with her is enough. Janet Reno. I don't think she's going to be getting anything again because I think she's got Parkinson's disease.
Yeah.
So,
Oh, well, it was the thought that counted.
Hey, did you feel a twinge of nostalgia for the old days when you saw him in the victory speech? I mean, did you... Say, boy, I wish that was me up there again.
Well, yeah, I always get a bit of that. They feel kind of nostalgic.
Well,
not so much like having my way with some women in the party and telling them what I
signed
that, but kind of thing, but...
Well, Hilly, I don't know who's going to be busier in trying to undo Barack, you or Hillary, if you don't get some kind of position. So.
Well, it's a shame he didn't offer Hillary.
Yeah, that's the first time I'll give a Clinton some support.
Well, I certainly appreciate that there, John of Staten Island.
Well, all right, Bill, you keep an eye on things for us, and if you get any... If any rumors start that you or your consort's going to get any kind of position, I want you to let us know on the right perspective first.
And by the way, the next time you call, please mention that you're rich. I mean, you're getting you forgot to mention.
Well, I mean, I feel like a piker next to old BHO there. I like to call him that, not because Savage or Wiener or whatever he calls himself there. He's it's like he took what I did and made it five times and just made it five times more concentrated there, or even more than that, because like I said, he raised a lot of money. He raised record amounts. He got that McCain guy flummoxed by promising or saying that he was going to go with public money,
yeah.
then he went for the private contributions, and by golly, he got a lot of people to give him money, or maybe a few people to give him a lot of money.
Let's find out.
I wonder the whole story behind that. But
I wonder where all that extra money that he made is going to go. You probably, who knows?
That Ralph Nader guy there sure said something kind of nasty when he said that. Is he going to be an Uncle Sam for the American people or an Uncle Tom for the corporations? Well, I haven't heard any corporations come. So maybe they ought to start wearing them, you know those guys in NASCAR, they got those jumpsuits that got all the different names, all the sponsors. Well, I just wonder what his jumpsuit would look like.
I have a feeling a lot of that extra money is going to go to a lot of Democrats to help get reelected, except for Hillary.
Well, she does have... Well, she does owe me for that that money she borrowed for her campaign debt.
I don't think he's going to help pay off Hillary's campaign debt because he doesn't want to have to face her again. All right,
Mr. President.
Yes.
We'll talk to you again.
Well, I'm glad you remembered I was Mr. President.
Yes, Mr. Ex-President.
You'll always be Mr. President here on the Right Perspective.
Yeah, I certainly appreciate that, you guys, and being practically neighbors to y'all over here in Chappaqua.
Yeah, you had to remind me. All right.
We'll give you a shout.
All right, Mr. President.
Thanks for holding on, sir.
And BYOB, by the way.
Same to you, fella. All right.
Bye-bye. He's the best. The best. Let's go to Brock in Texas and then wrap it up with John in Connecticut. Welcome to the Right Perspective, Brock.
Oh, hey, guys. I just wanted to bring up something regarding Rahm Emanuel.
Yes.
Yes.
Did you know that in a book that he co-authored in 2006, he wants to call for young people between the ages of 18 through 25 to do – oh, you knew about that? To do mandatory work?
Yeah. You know what that's called? Yeah. That's called slavery,
involuntary
servitude,
and
there will be a constitutional, the Supreme Court case on that, and that will be thrown out. That is involuntary servitude.
Yes.
That's slavery.
Let's get all our little Mao suits on, and we'll have the little caps and a picture of Obama in our inside pockets. Yeah.
Well, that's all I had for you guys tonight. I didn't hear it mentioned, so I just thought I'd bring it up.
Well, thanks very much. We appreciate it, Brock. Calling.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
All right.
Good night.
See you next week, hopefully.
Calling all the way from Texas. And
is
Mark Emanuel, who used to be the president and CEO of the Omega Radio Network where we started out, I wonder if he's related to Rahm Emanuel.
I don't know. Maybe he'll call in and let us know. Maybe we could have a connection to the White House.
Yeah.
Or maybe we better not let him know we're here.
Yeah.
You never know.
Let's wrap it up with John in Connecticut. Welcome to the Right Perspective, John. Oop. Sorry that Tom in
Stand
Portland.
Up and fight. Americans don't quit. We fight.
Yeah. Stand up.
That's
Stand
right.
up.
That's right. I want my country back. Yeah. Well, this guy didn't do much fighting, that's for sure.
Kept expecting him to go into that school ground nursery rhyme. Fight, and white. You're the and I'm the white.
Right.
Thought that was coming pretty soon. I mean, give me a break, John. He looked feeble and old in that acceptance speech. My God.
Yeah, he looked... He just didn't have it. I don't know what was wrong with him, but...
He didn't have the... same courage he had in the Hanoi Hilton, that's for sure.
No.
Just a couple quickies on some of what your caller said, then I just want to get to my election point.
Yes.
The guy talking about tariffs before, I mean, any time you put a tariff on me, you're taking away my freedom as an American to buy what I want to buy. Who the hell is he to say he's going to tax me on what I want to buy? I want to buy a German product, an English product, that's what I want to buy. And that only increases domestic products when you raise the products coming in from overseas. Also, Steve, when he mentions, the unions, and John was talking about unions, I mean, again, people always think of the corporations as special interests. No, the unions are the worst of the special interests. They only care about their specific goals.
That's right.
Corporations, John, have to care about the common good. They have the consumer to worry about.
The country never comes first with unions.
Of course not.
You know what they say a lot of times is, I'm a world citizen.
Yeah. Workers of the world unite.
Yeah.
They inflate the prices and they breed inefficiency. And all in the name of security. Isn't that what the government preaches when they suck you into their Ponzi scheme, Social Security policies? That, come on in. We'll make everything safe for you. You don't have to worry about nothing. and all my union buddies, they work an hour, you know, a day and pick up 8 hours pay, so they brag about it. So enough with the unions. But anyway, guys, is this the most uneducated electorate you've ever seen?
That's why I don't believe in democracy.
Yeah. Right. I mean, you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of the O.J. jury all over again.
Well,
they were going to get over. No matter what the facts or the evidence, they were going to get their man. They're going to get back at Whitey.
Well, that was it, and that's the whole point. That, and I had said that this is the same, Pete, this is the same group that voted for O.J., that didn't want to condemn, convict O.J.
Yep.
So it's exactly what you got.
And I saw it firsthand, a lot of black guys coming into my business, real dummies who never voted before, and they all had the I voted stickers on, and I got them that day, and I said, well, come on, what are you voting for, really? They couldn't name anything, and they had to admit, 19 out of 20 of them admitted it was straight for race. So I got one of the guys and said, what did they get you today? Did they register you today? They're like, no, they got me at Shaw's supermarket. They were rounding us all up. They had the registration forms. They had the directions to the poll place. They had the absentee ballots. It's unreal. And all they had to do is they had easy marks. Anybody that's black, it was an automatic sign-up and an automatic vote. There was no hard sell on any of these people. It was simple, and it was like shooting fish in a barrel.
Oh, sure. And that's why you say to yourself, that's why it's so dangerous, because, you had people that are morons, and they just went out and voted for the guy either on the color of his skin, because they were black and he was black, or, you had kids that went out and voted for him. I had an article, for example, I had an article in the Times a couple of months back I mentioned. They showed these schmucks, and they were on the Internet, and they hold this sign up, hope. What, you mean it's that bad in this country? It's really that bad that all you have left is hope? I mean, look at what he did. He sold that America was the worst place on earth, that America is, which I said from the beginning, his philosophy is we are responsible for all the evil in the world. We use too much. We eat too much. We drive too much. Our houses are too warm. We should be hot in the summer, cold in the winter. We should deprive ourselves. This
Jimmy
son of
Carter
a bitch,
blackface.
This foreign occupier of the White House is bringing a suspect and foreign alien ideology and wants to transplant this malignancy onto the healthy body of America. That's what he wants. And they fell for it. That's what kills me, John.
They didn't fall for it. They were mindless zombies who were just sucked in, like we said. There was no, they just got sucked in. One of the guys even said to me, he goes, Obama man. And I go, yeah. And he goes, what do you think? You think Palin's going to be a good vice president with him? Oh, my God. Jesus. I almost shot him right there on sight. And this is what we have to deal with. There should be at least some kind of test, Frank.
There should. You shouldn't be able to vote if you cannot vote until you reach the age of the man that's running for president.
It just doesn't seem fair. I mean, I got college-age nieces myself who were brainwashed, and my sister's a big conservative, and it's just they have brainwashed the students. And you know what I'm calling for right now on the right perspective? When the hell are we going to get a fairness doctrine for the schools?
Yeah.
Get it for all these other institutions. When are they going to start getting some fair play in schools and start teaching our great white Christian history? When are they going to stop demonizing our past? When are we going to get that kind of fairness doctrine, Frank?
That's a great point.
Yep. You'll never hear that.
No, of course not.
And also this week, Spike Lee, that racist turd. Did you hear what he said? He said, the days of the Pollyanna, beaver, cleaver America are over, reveling in that. And I was sitting there like, you dope. Does that mean the Pollyanna BS days of the Cosby Show, are they over too?
That's right.
You dummy.
Now, we'll come to the America of the drive-by shooting.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's the America that he wants. In fact, John, I wrote a column on few years back that's on still on the website, that if you look at Leave It to Beaver, when he wears his cap, he wears it normally with the brim in front of his head. But look how they've negroized us with wearing the cap backwards like a schmuck, wearing it on the side of the head. You look at any of the Bowery Boys or any type of movie that had kids in it or from the 40s and 50s, and it was always the idiot like Satch who wore his hat on sideways or backwards. Or to get even more moronic, now they wear it inside out and up. I mean...
And they wonder why they can't get a job at an interview, huh?
Yeah, and it just reflects, the deterioration of this society. Because it's a little thing, and people may not think it's much, but it shows you how the society has lost any type of standards whatsoever. Just look like a moron. Wear your underwear out. Just look... Don't tie your shoelace.
The America Spike Lee wants.
Yeah.
And guys, with Obama in now, does this officially make us the minority? Because you know they always said, Bush doesn't represent me. These white presidents don't represent me. Well, how the hell do we expect this black guy who believes in this liberation theology, which says salvation is only the savior of blacks from the white devil? I mean, how is this guy going to represent us? Now, so we're the minority. Do we get minority status rights now?
That's right.
Are we going to get any of that? Unbelievable.
I know.
And I'm so sick of hearing about how all the little black kids, they're so inspired
right,
now.
You're right.
I got tears in my eyes.
Hey, you know what, John?
Like you said, would they have tears in their eyes for Michael Steele? Not about the skin color. No. It's about your government religion, your totalitarianism, socialism, fascist takeover of our government, the nanny state that you want. That's all it's about. That's why these zombies are drones in this religion.
You know what?
All they believe in.
The next time someone's getting mugged, they could say, but I voted for Obama.
Yeah,
I voted for him. What are you doing?
I'm like Dog the Bounty Hunter.
You know? Oh, that pathetic pile of crap. Oh, please.
And John, are you there, John?
No, John's not here.
Okay. One thing, John, always we talk about the two fundamentals which brought down the Bush economy, and which was the oil crisis and the housing crisis. Those were two big crises. But we always leave out the liberal entitlement program crisis caused in the 60s. And John mentions it a lot, but he actually has the figure too low. It's actually $15 trillion since 1960. And we're averaging $1.5 trillion a year in government entitlement program. Okay? We're $10 trillion in debt right now, and that doesn't even reflect the government's promises of the $59 trillion that we're on the hook for, okay? And he's going to add spending and bring on this BS. I mean, come on. I mean, who put us in this position, this government position? And what are they waiting for, Frank? You know it, and I know it. They're waiting for a great crisis. That's why he was talking this thing up like the Great Depression. He knew he had this thing in the bag, so he was talking down the economy more than he... And now he's going to use it to seize power. They're already talking about seizing the 401Ks. Grabbing those. We're going to restore your value. Just give the money out of the free market to the government. We'll bring your 401k back up. Ooh, that sounds good. As you collect your 3% on your 3% annual input. I mean, what a disgrace. And all the dummies are going to fall for it, and they're going to slowly sap our rights and, you know, rip our liberty away from us. And Obama is the engine, the tool, the evil you talk about.
That's right. That's right. But you know, people, they really don't appreciate their republic, and they're constantly looking for, they were looking for an easy answer. And in the book I was reading on Americans in the Gulag, I forget who said it, but one of the quotes in the book is someone had said at the time of the Great Terror that communism, or as we should call it, Bolshevism, is barbarism with a friendly face. Susan Sontag called it fascism with a friendly face. And that's what it is. It comes across, they're going to give you, and meanwhile, they're enslaving you. That's the greatest famines. John, how come nobody's taught that the greatest famines in history occurred under socialism? Yeah. How come? Nobody. How come in the United
States? People, Frank, 50 million, and the gulags, and the political prisoners, and the, oh my God, the Orwellian state. Disgraceful.
But how come? How come your nieces in college aren't taught that? Are they taught that in 200 years, or more of this great republic, we've never had a famine. Well, how come they're not taught that?
I know, and I was on them for about a month, and I finally beat them into not voting for Obama, and they actually voted third party, so they at least they didn't vote for Obama. But I tried, but they're victims of this white guilt. They were in the arts. They have big scholarships to music and to acting colleges. They were just sucked into these arts at an early age, and no matter what my sister says, they're going to be absorbed. So if they, very educated white girls, sucked in, forget about the rest of them. I mean, we're doomed. I mean, we really are doomed. And all you can do is continue to speak out and continue to try and educate these people. But, you know, the thing is, they always want to portray us as the fascists. We know fascism comes from the left, and it was really two forms of socialism that were fighting each other, communism and, Nazism. And, you know, they took the side and they demonized the one that lost, and they painted them, and now we're right wing. Again, we believe in no government intervention. You can't have a fascist state without government takeover. And it's just the absolute absurdity. It doesn't make any sense. But yet they'll just throw the names around. They'll change the language. They'll manipulate us. We're screwed. They've got control of the language, Frank. What the hell do we do? Everybody's walking around in fear. Nobody wanted to put a McCain sign up in their yard because they were afraid. I mean, how many McCain signs did you see around this year? Think about it.
Yeah.
There were plenty of Bush-Kerry signs years ago. I mean, this is a scary time we're living in where you can't speak. You can't talk.
Right.
My God.
I know. The American people have a very ornery streak, contradictory streak in them. And I'm telling you, over a period of time with this, they're going to get fed up with this.
We've had it too easy, Frank, monetarily. It's been too good. We need a little of the Carter misery index back, and then that's the only way we're going to have a chance. But like you always say, there's no guarantee there's going to be another Reagan. You're going to make Palin and Jindal the next Reagan? I mean, good luck. I mean, these people are nuts. We're in trouble here. We really are. If we don't get somebody who can, like, not cower and move to the middle and stay strong. I mean, I looked back at Reagan in 1984. Do you know he was 0.18 of a percentage point of winning 50 states? He almost won Minnesota by less than 0.2 of a percentage point. I mean, come on. The old Christian right values, they were on the out back then, huh? Mm-hmm. Ooh, nobody will follow that. Please, we've allowed ourselves to be cowered into the middle, cowered into the corner by these liberals who have taken over academia and the language and gotten everybody fearful. I'm like, oh, don't call me a racist.
Right?
The worst thing in the world is to be called a racist.
Imagine
like you
that.
Said,
yeah.
So what?
Yeah.
I love challenging people in public. I love it. Nothing makes me feel better than to put their hypocrisy right back in their faces. They have nothing. No intelligence. Mindless zombies.
Sure, they're like the Eloy in Time Machine. That's what they're like. All right,
beautiful.
I'm going to go, John. Good talking to you.
Yes.
Stay in touch.
Talk to you next week.
And thanks for the poster.
Yeah, thanks.
Oh, yeah. I knew that stuff would crack you up. I mean, can you believe it?
All right, take care.
All right, I'll talk to you.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Somebody was calling in, but John wasn't here to answer the phone. I don't know who it was. So say hi to Sam in Maryland. Welcome to The Right Perspective, Brother Sam.
Good evening, man.
Hi, Sam. Hi.
Well, you guys are talking about these unions, and I had to call and put in my 2 cents worth. And back when I first got out of the Army years ago, jobs weren't easy to find. Money was pretty tight. And, of course, I started saving for my first car. And every time I thought I got close to having enough money put down on a car, well, steel workers go on strike. They'd come off. The auto workers would go on strike. They'd go off. The Teamsters would go on strike. One right after the other. Those same three groups. And all they were just plain old greed. They put themselves out of business. Yeah. It wasn't the corporations.
That's what I say.
It was the unions. They did it to themselves.
Just interrupt you for a second, Sam. Look at these these airlines, these stewardesses, and these unions at the airlines that would go on strike, and rather put the the whole airline out of business, then cut back on their benefits because the airline was suffering financially. They'd rather put the whole thing out of business and everybody lose their job rather than give anything back. You remember those times they went on strike and they wouldn't go back?
Oh, yeah. And another point about the unions. I wonder how many of these big corporations, if you really took a look at who owned the stock, the majority interest of the stock, I think you'd find that it's the pension funds of the unions. So, you know, they want to cannibalize themselves. What a badmouth corporations, right?
Yeah, and half of the money is spent on administration.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had a co-worker at a place I worked in Baltimore for a few years. Her son worked for Bethlehem Steel. And he sat down, and she was telling me about this one day at lunch, and she said he sat down and tried to figure out how much paid leave he could get out of Bethlehem Steel to go back to college. And he was non-union himself, but because he was working there, whatever benefits the union got, he got. Mm-hmm. And we're not talking about somebody in, you know, management. This is a guy that worked in the accounting department. And he sat down and figured out he could draw pay for a year and a half, you know, from the various leaves that he was entitled to, mm-hmm. you know, between sick leave, vacation, and paid administrative leave. Year and a half he could go to college and get paid to go, full salary. So it's that kind of stuff, you know, that they kill themselves with. That's just one thing.
Been going on for decades now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then another thing one of your callers brought up, Gerald Ford. Gerald Ford wasn't stupid. I sent you an email about that when the topic came up. One of the functions of the presidency is monetary policy. Gerald Ford had an excellent grasp of that particular, you know, function. When you mentioned stagflation, and both of you are old enough to remember stagflation. Mm-hmm. You remember how we got out of it?
Now, how did we get out of it?
Well, he had
at the time there was in place something called Regulation Q. Regulation Q was a banking regulation which prohibited corporations from having demand deposit accounts in interest-bearing accounts greater than $125,000 in principal. Mm-hmm. When we had the stagflation going on, Gerald Ford got us out of it by lifting Regulation Q. And when that happened, the corporations had money that they could put into interest-bearing accounts, which in turn generated mortgage money, which in turn kick-started the housing industry, which in turn pulled us out of stagflation.
Mm, very interesting.
Jimmy Carter comes along, you know. Jimmy Carter doesn't even know what monetary policy is.
Yes,
let
the
alone
genius.
What to do with it, right?
Yeah, the genius nuclear physicist.
Right, the outdated nuclear physics degree. But Ronald Reagan was just an actor.
Right.
Classical economist, and he had a degree in sociology and economics. So. But he was just an actor. Yeah.
Ronald Reagan was just an actor until he made a great speech. Then they would make the excuse that he was an actor, and that's why he was able to make a great speech.
Right.
So, you know, they tried to have it both ways.
That's a lot of bull.
Yeah. He was such a third-rate actor.
By now you've read that the segment that put Obama over the top, white women under 30.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, white people in general are kind of stupid.
Well, the whole election, I think, points out, you know, the stupidity of the American people right now. It's just,
look, Iowa is 98% white.
Oh, yeah.
It's 98% white. And Obama won Iowa. So I don't want to hear any nonsense about America being a racist country anymore.
Oh, yeah. But the point was that I think it was some place that I read that
if you took the segment of white women under 30, single white women under 30, that voted for Obama, that number in itself was enough to put him over the top.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, white people overall voted for him. They got no excuse now, so let's cut out this bull crap with affirmative action and, all the special loan programs and all that shit. You know, they're on an even
watch
keel with us now. Yeah. They can't say otherwise.
That's right.
Yeah, well, that's why one state voted affirmative action down. Yeah, now what are they going to do? And, if this administration turns out to be a complete failure, who are they going to blame? They're going to find some way to blame Republicans still? Or maybe they'll say that they couldn't get enough cooperation from white people.
My biggest concern about this administration is, are we going to go into depression?
Yeah.
And
well,
I hope nobody assassinates the sucker, because, good God, look what we'd have then.
Yeah, that's right.
And by the way, let's...
There is one bright spot.
Yeah.
One bright spot I can think of. Atla Ministries, Pastor David Manning of Harlem.
Yeah, what about
him? Have you looked at any of his videos?
No, what about him?
I sent you both a couple of them. He's a black minister in Harlem. He's been preaching against Obama during the whole campaign.
Oh, yeah, I remember. You didn't hear very much. You heard it once, maybe, and that was it, of course. Well,
I get emails from him all the time.
Yeah,
he had a message every day during the campaign.
Well, let's not forget what...
He's a piece of work, and
nothing wrong, racial pride.
I better not repeat some of the stuff he said, but...
Yeah.
But he said black people were foolish to be voting for that man just because he was black.
Of course, but...
And he pointed out that he's a Marxist and all of this, all of the things about him.
He had plenty of cover-up in the media. They did plenty of...
Let's not forget something, that a lot of people don't look upon it as Marxism or anything. They look upon it, whatever they're going to get out of this guy, as payback. This is reparation.
Well, when he talks about... redistribution of wealth, I don't think he's necessarily talking about it in the Marxist sense. I think he's talking about reparations.
Yeah, whatever it is.
Let's hope he tries it, because maybe that'll wake up all these white people enough to, there'd be a hell of a backlash.
Did you hear what Jim McCann, I think he's a congressman from Seattle, I think. He was one of those guys that went to Iraq that time and said, and was praising Saddam Hussein in the early part of when we were threatening to... regime change in Iraq, and he went there, I think, with another congressman, and they both came back praising Saddam Hussein. Well, this is what he said recently.
We have been guided by a Republican administration who believes in this simplistic notion that people who have wealth are entitled to keep it, and they have an antipathy towards means of redistributing wealth. And they may be able to sustain that for a while, but it doesn't work in the long run.
Oh, no? Now, first of all, who the hell are you to say wealthy people are it's wrong for wealthy people to think that they should keep their wealth. They earned it, didn't they?
Has anybody bothered to check into seeing how much wealth he's got?
Yeah. Well, but does he say that to his Hollywood friends that contribute, and all these lawyers with this...
Wow.
He's torting all these frivolous lawsuits, suing doctors.
Hardcore communists there.
Yeah. Well, and by the way, that's another thing that the Democrats are responsible for. That they talk about health care. They're the ones that ran the price up for health care in this country with the lawsuits by all these lawyers for the Democrats that sue these doctors. They have to have these frivolous lawsuit insurance or malpractice insurance. These lawyers who sue the doctors all the time all send contributions to Democrats. Again, Democrats cause the problem, and then they tell us they're going to solve the problem. So everywhere you look, folks, every time you turn around, it's the Democrats and liberalism that are costing your family and you and your kids and yet their children's children, your great-grandchildren, hundreds of millions, if not billions, dollars down the road. You have less in your life because of liberals and Democrats. They cause all of these high prices of everything. And then they try and blame it on other people. It's about time our side start to get wising up and speaking up about it. And maybe if they repeat often enough, you know, it won't be the Nazi tactic of just repeating things over and over, even if it's a lie and people start believing it. It'll be the truth.
Well, I think part of our problem as far as, you know, the younger generation and the way they're voting is that I don't think they understand what communism is anymore.
No. No.
They don't have a clue.
When you say, he's a communist, so? I got
that
one time. They don't even know how bad it is.
Right.
Just
that's
answer
the
them and say what I say. How come in the over 200 years of this republic, we've never had a famine, yet in every Bolshevik country, the greatest famines in history occurred under socialism? They can't answer you. And you know what? If you keep on with them with that, they'll run away because that is a fact. I've never heard any other talk show. Well, you know, I have a certain knack for history. Never heard any of these schmucks on talk radio ever bring that up. I never heard anybody in college challenge any of these Marxist bastards with it. But that is a fact. So when they were saying that, they're calling him a socialist, I say, you're goddamn right, and this is why I'm against it, all right? They'll never say that crap, all right? Sam, I'm going to get going.
Yeah.
The biggest point is, the biggest point I can make about it all is that all these socialist programs being run by the federal government were never authorized by the Constitution.
That's it.
That's right.
And if anybody wanted that, if one of the states wanted to do that, it was their right to do so, but not the federal government.
Well, the Constitution, he hates the Constitution because the Constitution was written by white slaveholders. That's what he believes, that's his feeling, and that's why he can never accept it. And it's really that simple, and nobody ever wants to bring that up.
I doubt that the slave owners that were involved in that were in the majority in that group.
Well, and by the way, his ancestors were slaveholders in Africa.
Absolutely.
All right, let's get that
straight.
Well,
if we get the reparations, I just wonder how they're going to figure out.
But isn't that the, Sam?
Which of the black families were descended from black slave owners.
You know
what? So that they don't get paid.
And that's the irony, Sam.
Right.
This guy's family was slave traders in Africa, and they all voted for him out of ignorance that they hate white people because white people would, please, you know what, we're in for dark times. I want my country back! Take care, Sam.
All right, Sam.
Good night. We'll get it back.
Okay. We will. By hook or crook, we're going to get this country back because it's being occupied. There's a foreign occupier in the White House. I can't call him President Obama. I have to call him what he is. Foreign occupier. And you know what? You're in the right perspective. It's going to be day one, just like it was day one when Bush was elected. Remember that, John?
Yeah.
Remember when they threw fruit at
that's
the guy?
That's right.
Remember
cabbage, tomatoes, rotten tomatoes.
The hatred.
And none of them were arrested for that. That's an attack on the president directly. If that happened to Bill Clinton, there'd be secret agents at the house of everyone that threw something at that automobile.
That's right.
Now, between that and President Bush not doing anything about them turning over the trash cans and the furniture in the White House and stealing all the B's, all the W's off the keyboards, off the computers and everything, and he said that, no, we just want to get on with the business, and they didn't do anything, and they didn't go after them. I knew we were in trouble. We didn't have a fighter on our hands.
No.
We didn't have somebody who he just didn't realize what he was up against.
No.
He should have let them know right then, if they're going to pull any of this stuff, we're coming back at you.
That's right, but it wasn't like that. He just didn't have it in him, you know. He didn't have the backbone that a Reagan had. And Reagan didn't do it nasty. Reagan just laughed them to death. In fact, that's why Limbaugh's doing Reagan. Reagan laughed at these people. You never see him got angry with them. And he made fools out of them. And they have a very thin skin. But I'm telling you, the next 4 years, you watch when, you know, all of this other stuff, the color of their the red and black and dress, and it's going to mean nothing It's just gossip that people use for talk radio to fill it. Doesn't mean anything. What's going to happen is people's wallets. People didn't give a... Look, you talk to people about this guy. I saw it. I saw it at the book fair. I said, the guy's not even born in this... Oh, please. And they walk away.
Yeah. You know why? Because they don't... They're more embarrassed that they didn't know anything about him. So they try and make it look like you're the wacko because you brought up something that they didn't know about.
Okay, I call him a piece of crap talking to my friend. So, she gives me this look and goes, it's my country, too. I wasn't talking to you. I didn't say it wasn't. You know, my friend told her what she could do with it, you know, very bluntly and pungently. But that's what you're dealing with. That's the attitude. Now, till next week, it was a great show. We took a lot of calls. If you can send us that help, do it so we can stay on the shortwave. Yeah. Good night.
All right, folks, we're going to be playing for you tonight. Volume 124 of The Best of John and Frank. This is from around 1990, 1991. And you'll hear some talk show hosts you may have forgotten about. And this is history. It's a timeline from the right perspective to you. And I think we've got two more to go. And then we've got a few more to put on from the early part, the first 55. I did 10 already. Or 9 of them.
I want to start playing older shows.
Oh, yeah, you mean from when we first started out? Yeah. All right, folks. And we're closing out. You notice we've been playing a couple of country songs because that's Middle America. The America that still is the America. But the America that we fell short on this time around, and maybe they'll learn their lesson the next time. All right, folks, get ready for The Best of John and Frank, Volume 124, and we'll see you next week. Hunger for more.